This is PFW in Progress.
The best undiscovered female voices will sing on this stage tonight with one definite goal: to win your vote. You decide their destiny. You make the call. The competition is on. Let's go. This is
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
I like that French stuff.
I think it was a complete and utter mess. It didn't work. It was all over the place. You were forgetting your words. It just didn't work.
Lightly.
I really, really, really hated that. Sorry.
Paul Perillo.
Are you drunk?
No, not at all.
No. I thought it was ridiculous.
And Andy. And Andy?
Last week you indicated that you are on a different page.
Well, let's just redefine that as correct page.
Andy Hart.
No, being serious, I watched the show back, and I have to say, if I was giving myself marks out of 10, I'd give myself a 10.
Some guy named Tom.
The reality is, it is actually more than just singing. It is about personality. It's about the right choices. So you can't come up on a stage like tonight and be in your own world and hope that you're going to interest the American audience, because they're going to forget that performance three performances later. So not your best night by a mile.
And you never know.
Rory might stop by.
You are cute. You're likable. I think America, if they haven't already, are going to fall in love with you.
PFW in Progress.
There's nothing much you can do.
And there were parts during the performance where it was actually painful. It didn't work. You can't keep doing this week after week after week. Sorry.
All right, week after week, we are going to do this. It's PFW in Progress, the only place to come and get Patriots talk. Not only during the off season, but also during the season. It's the only place to really get true
objective,
New England Patriots talk.
You're objective.
Right, yep. Anyway,
except for you and Tom.
We're here. The whole gang's here. Fred, Andy, Paul, Tom. Gary's in the booth.
I'm doubtful, though.
What's the matter?
I'm doubtful.
You still sick,
yeah,
Tom?
Yeah, so.
Thanks to you.
There's not going
to
be.
Thanks to me.
So you ruined an AFC title game. Fred, you're now ruining a PFW
right.
Progress.
So now.
He is the main reason why the Patriots did not win another Super Bowl. I'm convinced of it now.
Because of me being sick in San Diego?
I'm so deathly ill. There's no doubt in my mind you affected the outcome of that game.
Well, are you on any type of antibiotics?
On everything you could possibly imagine.
Is that right? Did you go to the doctor?
They gave me antibiotics.
Who's they? You have a team of physicians that look after you?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Did you get that, like, five-pack thing? The Z-pack or whatever?
No, I just got a bottle that has pills in it.
I'm not a doctor.
Yeah.
But no, they have that one where it comes, like, in a thing and you push out each day, and there's a couple on one day.
Oh, no.
I've always had good
success.
Well,
you sound and look better than you did yesterday.
Yesterday I was hurting.
I yelled at him yesterday for coming in.
Yeah, I called a priest. I had one standing by just in case, you know, we had to do last rites or anything.
I just wanted to show you my dedication. Maybe someday in the future, you know, maybe you owe me a favor.
That stuff doesn't register with me. All right.
We'll see.
Review day?
The airing of grievances. All right. Well, we got a lot to talk about, even though the Patriots are off. I mean, there's no one in the Patriots parking lot. There's cars there that have snow over it because you know they haven't been moved. So I don't know if they keep them there and got rides home or whatever. But, you know, there's hardly anyone here from the football staff right now.
And Tom Brady's in Giselle's apartment.
Yeah.
Getting
twice.
Caught up with the paparazzi.
But the good news is that the staff does get to go to Hawaii next week.
Jackpot.
I was talking to the Patriots equipment manager, and he even gets to go. So that's pretty cool. Which, you know, I guess Belichick will be coaching. I haven't heard anything otherwise.
Yeah, I didn't see why people were so hell-bent on saying that he wouldn't coach.
He is kind of an anti-establishment type person.
But
known as a baby.
I just think he looks at that as an opportunity.
I
really do.
To get to know the San Diego Chargers.
To get to know anybody.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's running the 3-4 on defense, and
Andy,
he trades for Lance Briggs on the AFC Pro Bowl roster so he can get him in the system,
see how
he fits.
How many times over the past, you know, 5 years has he referenced the 98 Pro Bowl as being a time where he first met somebody?
Endless.
You know, my first dealings with fill in the blank, I remember at the 98 Pro Bowl, and I know part of that was probably to tweak Parcells a little bit,
right.
But I think the other part of it is he uses every opportunity he can as a chance to coach, to better his team, find out a little bit more about somebody or someone's work ethic or whatever. I was not surprised at all to find. Now, if he decides he's not going, you know, I think all the reasons why people said he wouldn't go are probably accurate. But
another,
I would be surprised if he didn't
into
go.
The end of the off season.
Now, is that something you would enjoy, coaching the Pro Bowl?
No, I can't wait.
Oh, there you go.
Which is also, by the way, did you see the numbers on Nolan and Gruden, the guys they've drafted from the Senior Bowl over the last couple of years? I thought that was interesting. They use that in the same kind of way.
I think that's even more
they each have
helpful
like
because
six guys or something. There was
a
whole list of
guys. You get to see
how
those young kids are, like when Singletary's yelling and screaming at him, you get a good idea.
My money
how
says
react.
Singletary has no desire to draft that Davis kid. He is spent.
Who?
He's the Buster
Davis. Yeah.
He spent the entire week yelling at him, telling him he's playing high, he's doing this, he's doing either that or he loves him. He's trying to break
well,
him.
Well, I
get
think
him
he kind of took a liking to him because he's short like Singletary. Mm-hmm. But you're right, he was on his case all week.
Mm. So, what were the numbers that you were talking about? I'm sorry, Fred.
They listed the guys they've drafted from their Senior Bowl rosters over the last 2 years or whatever it
was.
We don't know
they
if
they coach it every year or have coached it every year for the last couple.
Gruden's been there a couple times.
Well, that's why I was wondering. Mike Nolan's only been a coach for a couple of years.
How do they pick the
I think it was 3 years for Gruden and two for
the two worst teams?
No. I think they want to do it. I don't think it's a formula.
No?
I think it's they want to do
Gruden
it.
Yeah, I know Gruden loves it.
Well, it's got to be non-playoff teams, right? Gruden did it last year? He couldn't have done it last year when they made the playoffs.
No, I don't think he did.
Well, he's done it a couple times.
He did
he's done it multiple
times.
The year
before when Cadillac came out, that's where he first saw Cadillac Williams.
But I don't think it's a formula of a 23rd
Jeff
ranked
Fisher
team
did it last year.
Yeah.
He was one of the ones last
year. I think it's, first of all, desire, showing an interest, whatever coaches want to actually do it with their staffs. But I do. I think you could gain a lot from that.
Sure.
I mean, that's a week of, that's
it's,
not
it's
an individual
a week of
workout.
Pro drills.
You know, everybody always talks about how the one thing you can't tell is the mental. Well, that's a week of competition against the best of the other best and seeing how guys react when they get knocked on their butt. I mean, I would think
how
that's a valuable
coaching
tool. Yeah,
I mean,
I would
pro,
think that's
it's pro
very
style
valuable
coaching with pro drills and all that stuff. And like you said, if Singletary spent the week yelling at Davis,
it's one or two ways.
You have an idea. Yeah, you have an idea of how he responded to that.
If you don't like him, you don't spend any time yelling at him.
Well,
what's the sense?
I agree with that. But if the kid took the criticism and curled up in a shell in the fetal position in the corner, he's probably going to say, "I don't really want any part of that guy."
Right.
But back to the Pro Bowl, we don't know if Tom Brady's going to be going to replace Phillip Rivers. That hasn't been announced yet.
Certainly looks like he's not.
Really?
Yeah, I would think that it would have been announced by now.
Well, okay. Greg Aiello.
The story is that he is going to the Pro-Am.
Right. He's supposed to be playing Doral Beach or whatever it is.
I love when he talks in and out of the microphone.
I don't know where isn't that Pebble Beach?
Pebble Beach,
yes.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know. Greg Aiello from the NFL said he would hope that an alternate plays and checks their schedule and, you know, can be flexible about it. But so I think that's why they probably haven't even named Brady as the alternate, because once they name the person, they want to make sure he can and will play.
And a related note, Willie McGinnis called and volunteered to quarterback for the AFC in the Pro Bowl. That's how he gets there, being the only guy who'll take those jobs.
Sure, sure. All right.
sure.
Tom had a nice little story about the Senior Bowl. A lot of players for the Patriots to watch. We're going to continue doing draft stuff. When does the draft podcast start?
But we're going to do one this afternoon. I was not aware that you wanted us to do one yesterday.
I thought we said every Tuesday.
Last but it's
week
a little early.
So?
I thought we were going to start it when it's
we like to
over
provide good content, not just
you don't have
throw
anything good. You
there
get all the Senior Bowl stuff you can talk about.
Well, we have
you got,
that
you
this
got the
week
guys that have declared now. You know, you've got that list you can talk about. There's a lot of things you can talk about.
Well, we'll be talking to Mike Mayock at the Combine.
Okay.
Got an interview scheduled up with him.
Nice.
So we'll have a lot of stuff.
You talk to his people?
I talk to him.
Oh,
he doesn't have people. He's
did he
not
talk to
Kiper
you like
yet
he does on TV, like really excited and everything?
No, he's pretty – he's live. He's like kind of more laid back.
Yeah.
He's
a really
glasses
good guy.
On. Yeah, he's a nice
based
guy
on, you know, talk to him once.
Great. All right. The other thing is I read this thing, and, of course, Pro Football Talk this morning, about Nick Saban.
Yeah, I saw
yeah,
him.
I read that.
Jeez.
What happened?
What is he, an idiot?
Fill me in.
What's the word after coon?
Coon ass.
Oh, coon ass.
He's can we say that word?
Well, that he did. We're just
apparently Southern people said it's not a derogatory.
Yeah, a lot of people, I guess, in the Louisiana area, it's not what I think would what would come to mind, because I know what I, when I read it, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe he said that.
Plus, Tom's best friend is Coon, right?
Well, it's, that's his name.
Yeah. So, that's what it is.
But, I guess he, in talking to some Alabama people shortly after his press conference, he, and he even said, he goes, you know, I guess this isn't for use on whatever you want to,
you can't use this.
Can't use this, but someone, I guess, was recording it.
Right.
And he told a story about
Myers was there?
Somebody in Louisiana, someone in Louisiana, had equated what Saban did. You know, it's kind of like he was, you know, sleeping with, and didn't use the word sleeping with, my wife. You know, that's how betrayed people in Louisiana felt. And he was extremely colorful in his language, describing the people in Louisiana and using a southern accent and talking, basically making fun of the people in Louisiana. I just can't believe that he would be so stupid as to even say it. Never mind, oh, I didn't know I was being recorded. Just to say it in public, to me, would be incredibly bad judgment.
Further,
well, because the people in Louisiana are so much different from the people in Alabama.
Exactly. Sure. Well, yeah, it's a cosmopolitan area in Tuscaloosa.
Right. You know, I guess a lot of people think that he's kind of a jerk, and this doesn't change anyone's mind.
There's no question in my mind he is. Just watching him up at the podium talk during his press conferences, Don Shula hit it on the money. This guy loves to hear himself talk.
Yeah.
I mean, he really does.
And he can't help himself. Even when he goes in at the combine, he wouldn't talk about Ricky Williams. That was the issue, right? And then he spent a half hour talking about Ricky Williams.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what he does.
He can't help himself.
He's not talking about something,
the way Andy,
and he'll get into it.
The way Andy just put it is perfect. He can't help himself.
No.
But I think he's just like Belichick in that the way he acts and carries himself, like he knows way more than you do. The only difference is Bill doesn't give you anything.
Right.
And Nick can't help himself.
I can't help himself.
He's lacking some restraint or
right,
some filter.
Right, that filter or whatever that you need to...
What do you want me to tell you?
To shut it off. He doesn't. You know that, and that whole line that Florio had, you know, 2 years ago about the receptionist in Miami that commented on his haircut.
Right.
He said, don't... You know, he issued
a memo.
Instructing the people, the workers and employees, not to speak to him. Unless spoken to.
He needs a good butt.
That was all I needed to hear about him, and that was before he ever coached a game in Miami.
He needs to be taken down a notch. He's not as good as he thinks he is.
Oof.
But now that he has like a state trooper with him 24 hours a day now, right, as the Alabama coach.
He's
going
to need him when he goes to Louisiana.
Takes him to the strip clubs with him like Mike Price did.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. We already have a slew of emails in. A lot of people, now that we're only a week, are really realizing how much they miss us. A lot of the emails are saved.
Send in donations, and we'll go five times a week.
You think this was our best year of PFW in progress? Because it seems like we are getting a lot of that.
Well, I think it's a combination
podcasts,
of
people listening.
That's it.
Who couldn't listen at noon at work.
That's it.
All these people that tell us, oh, I listen in the morning, or I listen on the drive home, or I listen at the gym. That's
podcasts.
A whole audience, thanks to
Gary,
the
you ought to take out all the tapes of when they made fun of me.
No.
About podcasts.
Get those tapes out. Get them out so we can listen to them. And the only one podcast I made fun of you for, not us in general,
they made fun of me about podcasts.
Just the cheerleader. That was the only one.
Yeah, that's the only one we made fun of you for.
Well, you'll live to regret that one, too.
Andy, would it take donations or just a free lunch to do it every day?
Free lunch will
free
get
lunch
it done.
Would probably
Whoa,
do it.
No. Free lunch doesn't get us 5 days a week.
I think it was the podcast.
Free lunch 5 days a week.
Some personnel changes to the PFW staff.
Yeah, that's it.
I think
you were here last year.
Honestly, I think the inclusion of Tom helped.
He was here last year. This is his second year.
Yeah, but now he's finding his stride.
Oh, please.
Podcast.
Second day he was on the show, he went on that whole diatribe about, I've seen greatness, and Tom Brady is greatness. All he needed to endear himself.
I'm in my prime.
I'm in my prime.
No, you're not. You're past your prime. Great.
What about my prime, Mick?
And I also,
at least you had a prime.
I also think that as we keep doing this, more and more people get faster connections at home and work.
Except that one guy who's got the pay by the minute dial
right,
up.
Right, the dial up guy is still having trouble.
He's still mad at us.
Yeah, the fact that we're a 2 hour show, he doesn't even like. But I think all those things are coming together to create what I would call a phenomenon.
All the drunks in Ireland getting together and listening over their Guinnesses in the pubs every day.
Yeah.
Oh, I like it. I look forward to the show, especially on Wednesdays in the off season.
So
the sheriff, Tom Casale.
Casale?
Who said that?
Is that
a new one coming up? You had Rob in lately, huh?
some guy named Tom is going away.
Oh,
wow.
I've earned my
per request from the listeners. They think that you're too big a part of the show to just be some guy named Tom.
What else do we have to talk about before we get to emails? Anything going on that people need to know about?
Huh.
Yeah, I was talking to these guys because, you know, I've never gone to the Super Bowl, and they kind of told me, explained Media Day to me. I just, watching it on TV, like the questions they ask those players and coaches, I just think it's so ridiculous.
Oh, Media Day is a real waste of time.
Let me
tell you something.
It really
asking
is. Peyton Manning what he would sound like if he was a real bear.
Because here's the thing, Tom. You know, whether they land on Sunday or Monday and you get access to coaches and players that day. Then on Thursday and Friday, you get access to, or Wednesday and Thursday, you
get access
to everybody you'd want.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't even need to show up to this media day, you know. And
so the real reporters really don't need anything.
You don't really need anything.
You go. I mean, everybody goes.
It's a free lunch, and you can see the Azteca girl walking around, whatever.
Wilbon mentioned her on PTI.
I got some pictures of her. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, he said she was the story of Media Day.
Oh, my goodness.
But I guess it was a little bit of a toned-down Media Day. It wasn't a lot of the kooks that usually,
like,
you know, guys dressed up as Superman.
The kid from Nickelodeon.
Yeah,
Remember the first year, the Amazing Race guys, the two guys that won the Amazing Race, they were there. And
yeah.
There's always some kind of nonsense.
Actually, I'm not even mad.
I don't mind it, but I can understand a guy like Tom who – doesn't have any interest in anything, you know, that's not
period. But I think it's
anything,
great to
period.
See, though. I think,
yeah, anything.
I
period.
Think experiencing it is
young
kind
girls.
Of my thing is just, you know, if you're going to ask stupid questions, make them funny.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like, what would you sound like if you were a real bear?
There's that's no funny
really
answer
funny
to that.
Me. Yeah. That's
do you really expect he's going to go roar on the microphone in front of 5,000 people?
And even if he does, that's not funny.
Right.
Oh, he's Evans would.
But Peyton Manning, you really think he's going to be the guy that you'll get to that?
I agree that that's not
the lame
funny.
Guy.
And most of the stuff that I witnessed in the couple of media days that I was at, most of the stuff wasn't funny.
Well, maybe we should think of a way to change up Media Day. You know, have a Media
not
Day.
Not allow 5,000 people to have credentials.
Well, that could be, but make it different. You know, I think it should be unique, you know, a little different from the normal press access.
Well, now,
but how can we make it
now,
more?
Now, I heard they walk around. Like, I remember the old media days where guys would sit at a table, but Kornheiser was saying, because he used to go up to, like, the ones that nobody wanted to talk about and, like,
right.
get their life stories.
Yeah.
But he says now they walk around with, like, video cameras and stuff, so
yep.
he said it's even harder to get those
guys.
Well,
it's kind of embarrassing. You got like these booths.
There's like
the head coach and the quarterback and the main guys will sit at.
There's like eight booths. I
yeah,
think.
And then you have like, you know, some of the assistant coaches sitting in the stands and they get attention because you don't get to talk to them a lot. But then you get these guys like the special teams guys who still have their shirt on. You know, they all have to wear their jersey, but they're just milling around and it's embarrassing if you just stand there and no one's talking to you. So
well, they're supposed to be somewhere. They all have a nameplate somewhere on a seat.
I know, but it's embarrassing.
And then they leave. Right. They wait 2 minutes. No one comes to them, and they walk around.
So better, they get involved.
They had assigned seats.
I'm pretty sure they all have their nameplate.
They have a little
in the stands on a seat
where they're supposed to be.
But I know that that's the way it is every day in the ballrooms of the hotels.
They do in the stands.
They all have their assigned seats.
But I think Fred's right. They sit there for 2 minutes, and they see everybody going to Tom Brady and feel like an idiot, so they just, you know.
I mean, when they have
walk around.
Other access, like in the hotel, and
the
guys are sitting at tables, they got their placard there, and they're sitting there, and no one's talking.
And no one talks
guys
to
bring
them.
Newspapers
yeah,
and books,
right.
and they just read the newspaper
right.
because no one's talking to them.
Right.
You know? So, anyway, it's something that they've been doing for a long time, but
those are the PFW features.
It's boring, basically. You know, it's getting a little stale, I think.
It is getting a little stale because all those little gimmicks that people have worn off.
Yeah, they've all done them. They've all been done now.
Like the dunk contest in the NBA. It was cool the first time you saw it. Well, now it's the same.
Yeah.
It's not cool anymore.
Maybe I'm just bitter because we're not there. I still haven't gotten over it.
I just think it's a tired act, Media Day.
So how do they spice it up? Fred wants to spice it up.
Well, you should spice it up somehow.
Plus, in today's NFL, you really don't have the... like the coaches try to keep the talking down,
right?
You know, back in
maybe
the...
what you do is you have both teams there at the same time, and the first team gets 15 minutes to interview the other team, and then the other team interviews that team for 15 minutes, and it's sort of like a little war, a media war.
Bill would love that.
I was going to say, can you imagine what Belichick would do to that?
Screw him.
Whoa,
I mean,
now.
No, I mean, this is for the better of the league, you know? He wouldn't have them there at all if it was up to him.
That's true.
Well, never thought I'd have to deal with a guy like
that. But I think
Fred
that would be
kind of
cool. You have both teams there. Maybe a little trash talking going on.
That was Fred Kirsch who said that.
No, I mean, he's not the guy that's going to make the decision on that. It's a league thing.
This Super Bowl is like a love fest. Yeah. I mean, these two teams want to sleep together.
Yeah.
Coaches love each other. The players love each other. That's boring to me.
Lovey loves each other.
I mean, whether you like Joey Porter or not, I want to see someone like Joey Porter telling me you don't want to go down a dark
right.
alley with Jeremy Stevens. That's entertaining,
right.
you know, when you're sitting at home. These guys are just boring the heck right out of me.
Dan Klecko claiming he hasn't gained any weight and everybody making fun of him.
Maybe it's the white uniform or the 61.
I like the 61. Like, you know, somehow 61
is a round
is a less flattering number than 90.
Oh, I thought you guys were just kidding.
No, he claims he weighs the exact same. He doesn't know if it's the number or the white jersey, but
59.
He sees tape of himself and even says, oh, my God. And I guess Mike Vrabel
like
calls him often and makes fun of him.
He may weigh the same, but it may be distributed a little bit differently.
Well, we'll have to do our Super Bowl picks by the end of this show.
Okay.
See who's picking who.
Yeah.
I hope we can squeeze that in.
It's a tough week for everybody last week.
Yeah. I went 0-2. I know that. I don't know about against the spread. I guess they went 0-2 too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's looking at you like you have the notebook, do you?
I don't.
You just know it's only
everybody
two.
Went 0-2.
No, I have
well, except for Tom. Yeah, Tom
he was the one who was bragging. Like, wasn't he undefeated?
Well, he was only had one loss, I think.
Oh, he had
well,
one
he
loss.
Was. Yeah, I think he had one loss by the spread.
So he couldn't
undefeated overall.
He whatever. Couldn't recreate Andy's magic from a year ago. I went down in flames. You know, it was a tough. My
this
microphone needs Viagra.
Debacle.
My microphone just went limp on me.
I was listening
good.
To the show. I'd have turned it off.
I definitely would have. Let's get to some emails.
All right, let's get to some emails. Emails. Web radio. I can't talk.
Are all the emails about the pass interference?
No. Okay. In fact, I don't know if any are. But we'll
I'm good. Just
this is a no whining zone.
I can't
today.
Talk.
The game's over.
Speaking of whining, Paul, I'm a little concerned about you.
About me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm worried that your appearances on these other forums, you're going to get in trouble with the fans of New England.
I don't.
I hear he's painting them with the same brush.
Your distaste for New England sports fans is coming out loud and clear, and I'm afraid they're going to turn you off.
So why are you not afraid of that when I talk about the Red Sox fans in the same way?
I think you like Red Sox fans.
No, I don't.
You don't?
No.
I said New England fans in general.
But you're not concerned about that when I talk about
no,
the Red Sox.
No, I am.
That's my point.
I think when you go on to these other forums, you know, you're looked on as a sports expert, and I think, you know, your hatred for everything New England's coming through.
Oh, that's utterly ridiculous.
You know,
plus, if Red Sox fans tune you out, it doesn't matter. But if Patriots fans tune you
Paul
out,
is, Paul, is
her
the,
subscription
Paul
sales.
Has the ultimate irony because he hates everything about New England, yet he will never, ever leave. He will be here till
Fred,
he dies.
How can you say that I hate everything about New England?
Well, you like Northeastern.
Which is on the horizon.
You love Northeastern.
But how can you say that?
Well, because you've said it. You don't respect the
this
fans.
This is fixing the brew into a storm.
Tick, I just don't tick, understand tick, why tick, you tick, say tick, things like that. That well, is so untrue that I don't like New England.
You've often said that New England sports fans have this very high opinion of themselves, and it's just not true.
Well, yeah, but you're talking about fans. Now. But you're making the talk about the painting with a broad brush.
Well,
you're talking
sports.
About New England. I love New England. I love the teams. I've grown up rooting for them, and I continue to do so.
You love the teams?
Love the teams.
Oh.
All of them?
All four of them.
All four majors?
Sorry, Fred. I can't really throw
what
the Revs.
What about the Revs?
Can't throw the Revs in there because
no?
I hate soccer. But
you hate the fans.
I don't hate the fans. I just don't think they're as good of fans as they like to give themselves credit for being.
Okay.
They're not as good as fans. Paul is.
I'm
like, the best fan he knows.
See, now, Tom will stop making fun of me now, and it'll be on my side.
But
I'm like Tom. I like to watch the game.
I
don't like to sit there and scream and yell.
But that's part of being a good fan when you're at the game.
I don't know
if
he's ever watched the
game. You're one of the guys who won't give the team a home field advantage.
Right. That's my fault.
No, I'm just saying that you're one of them. When Tom and I and Andy say Gillette Stadium is not as loud as other venues, it's because of fans like you.
True.
I just think they're too cool.
Okay. But are you too cool?
Oh,
Paul's
yeah.
the coolest
I'm
guy he knows.
I'm way too cool.
I'm just trying to get to the bottom of it, you know, because you can't contradict you can't criticize the fans for not giving the team a 12th man.
You're the coolest.
You know, unless you're willing to do it yourself, I guess.
See,
I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're mistaking me pointing out a fact that I think Gillette Stadium is quiet.
Yes.
With me criticizing the fans for being quiet.
Should they be quiet?
I don't really care.
Oh, I do. I care.
I do. I know
should
you
be
do.
Loud.
I
loud.
I care.
I know
I
you
it
do.
Should be loud. You care.
I don't like booing.
Well,
no
I'm
reason.
Not talking about.
You know
I'm talking
that.
About.
We've gone down that road before. We don't have to go down that
I'm
road.
I'm talking about third down, getting behind your team when it's on defense.
Sure,
and
if it's
noise.
A big play, yeah, get up and make noise.
Would
yeah,
you do that?
Fine. If it's a big play?
Oh, okay. So you
down
do
21-3,
that.
Continuing to cheer like the Indy fans.
How many middle?
No.
How many Miller Lights
no.
do you
no.
need to get
not
up
for me.
Off your seat?
Couple.
How many couple Miller Lights?
69.
That's the only thing I would argue is that like I've been to a couple games sporadically. But I've never been a season ticket holder because I don't want to be. I don't want to go to the parking lot.
Right,
every,
right.
Spend
the
so
money.
If
See,
go,
I just like
but
the,
if you
I
go
like
through
the tailgate.
That process, you think that
right.
you would be like
right.
crazy.
If I'm going to go, I'm going to go. If I'm not, I'm going to just sit home, and which I probably would.
I like the tailgating aspect. I like the whole game day experience. That's why I was a season ticket holder. I enjoyed everything about going
I was
to the
too.
Game. But I wasn't necessarily a drunk yelling and screaming. Matter of fact,
we're
I didn't
go drink.
I didn't drink very much at games,
well,
period.
You don't have to drink.
I've never actually.
You can
I've,
be a sober screamer.
I've
you
never
cheer.
Actually bought a drink in a game, bought an alcoholic beverage
really?
In, at a game.
I mean, I was a season
bucks.
Ticket holder. I was one of those idiots.
I don't have enough money.
I was one of those idiots that sat in the stands yelling, Flutie, Flutie. But, you know, that's what we had fun.
He's all happy.
I was one of the idiots in the stands yelling for Flutie.
As much as I'll make fun of, like, wacko fans, I think you should. That's
yeah.
what you go there to do. You go to have a good time. If you want to.
You participate.
I used to have one of those when I those foam Patriot hats on. And
you did.
My that. Wife was embarrassed to sit next to me.
How big was it? It was all stretched out. And
can you imagine? I must have had a big rip in the side.
Yeah,
right?
I opened myself up. I try to share something, and you guys just make fun of it.
Oh,
Fred's comedy is really hurting me. My throat's I can barely swallow right now.
Oh,
you
my
you got to tone it down, Fred.
All right. Well, it's just the swallowing is hurting now.
It's just you're making me laugh.
Oh.
All I know is those guys who make fun of Tom for, you know, bending people over could probably have some fun
swallowing.
With some of this swallowing.
You're not going to get any rants out of me today, so if you want to take your shots, go ahead.
I'll bet you $10 I can get a rant out of you
yeah,
at some point.
I don't got it
I'll
in
bet
me.
You I can, too. I'll just call Jerry Jones and say, hire North Turner.
Well, now people are saying that Jerry Jones should be the coach of the team. That's
I
what I read.
That would be as entertaining as could be.
I thought it was interesting, Mike Singletary's comments.
Oh, what were his comments?
Suddenly, he was really enthusiastic about the interview, and
we've been behind him all along here. Yeah. PFW, he's the guy we target.
The point is
yeah,
that
but
most
I don't
people
see how
felt
he has
that
coaching
was...
experience.
Who cares?
Right. Most
yeah,
people.
But Norv Turner has 9 years of bad coaching experience.
I don't think he should be the coach either.
But nobody
how long
wants
Singletary
the job,
been a coach?
Fred. That's the thing. If nobody wants the job, I'd rather take a chance on a young guy who may turn into something,
right.
instead of a retread loser. Who isn't going to do anything?
I agree with Tom on that, but I only brought it up because a lot of people felt that that was kind of a sham interview.
Yeah.
Because he originally had his three assistants in that had no chance really to get the job, one of which was African American, Todd Bowles, the defensive backs coach. And a lot of people just felt that was another way that he was going to skirt the Rooney Rule. So in thinking along those terms, I think he decided, well, I'll show them. I'll bring in Mike Singletary. And then a lot of people said, well, it's just another way to skirt the rule because you know you're not going to hire him.
So but now maybe he'll say, I'll show them. I'll hire him.
But I listened to Tom Jackson today with Mike and Mike, and he was talking about it. He said, like, even if it was, you know, a situation like that, it's still a great thing because now yeah. it gives Mike Singletary a chance to go in, interview. Everybody knows that he interviewed for the Dallas Cowboys, and who knows? Maybe he knocked their socks off and really you know took to the process and became a candidate, even if he wasn't one going in.
And as much as we try to pretend that these owners are smart guys and they don't fault, you know, just because they read that somebody else interviewed him, they're not going to interview him, that influences it stuff. If they know Mike Singletary was a finalist for a job, interviewed for this job, there's a chance when they're putting together their list, they say, oh, is Mike Singletary still available? Maybe we'll interview him. And it happens.
Plus, they can call Jerry Jones and say, you know, how did Mike
right.
Singletary... And he could give him like a letter of recommendation, basically.
Or Mike Singletary can use the interview to see yeah. exactly what I don't want to go to when I do pick
I think
a job
it's
or whatever.
I think it's definitely been helpful.
I would never. I just don't think you should say no, especially if you're in that case. Now, if you're Bill Belichick and if he was free right now and you thought it was some sham interview, then you say no. But as a young up-and-coming coach trying to get your foot in the door, why would you
it's
turn
practice.
It down?
Yeah. Practice.
I mean, at worst, you just
yeah.
see what questions he asks you, and next time you've heard the question before.
Yeah. when there is a real job opening, you don't want it to be your first ever interview for that
kind
of job.
Poop yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
I like the guy in the Cowboys organization was talking about the three assistants, and they said that Todd Bowles spent more time waiting outside of Jerry Jones's office for the interview than he did in the interview.
That's a shame.
They're running a hell of a football team.
I always wonder that, though. They talk about how Billick does a good job preparing his assistants for interviews. He puts together PowerPoint presentations with them and all that.
Well, he's a PR man himself.
Right. But I always wonder what the differences are when they interview, say, eight guys. Do some people just show up, put their feet up, and say, so what do you got? Do others bring PowerPoint? Do others say, well, the first thing I do is reorganize? You know, I wonder what the degree of difference is between all the interviews.
I remember hearing the story of Green Bay. Remember Mike Sherman?
Yep.
I guess he came, like, with a actual binder.
Right.
With a whole plan on how to fix the team and what he wanted to do. And they were so impressed, they hired him.
Right. I wonder how many there are that. Because you got to think, once that gets out there, they'd be more of those guys prepared and... But then there might be some guys who are just cocky
some guy
and think
like
they
you
can show up
come with a pad.
Right. Well, I was looking for $2.5 million. Is that about all you need to know?
I brought a pen.
All right, let's get to the emails. Webradio@patriots.com.
Office for the review.
Right. Webradio@patriots.com.
I'm Bowles. Who's below? Who gets the 2-day interview?
Ravi from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Fred, are you going to put a time constraint on Brian Lowe this year for his review?
Yeah, you should limit it.
Was it long?
Yeah. He's always long.
I'm not sure this one from last year ended yet.
You guys usually have to take lunch in the middle of his
Make
somewhere.
Sure you tell your friends you heard it on PVN.
Well, you know, speaking of that, I don't want to interrupt Ravi's email here, but, you know, there are going to be some changes in our department this year, as always is. And
big changes.
But just to...
Are you getting promoted?
One of the things is we're going to be doing a lot more fan outreach. That's one thing. But we were just talking to David Silverman today, our team photographer. And we're going to have, you know, we have a lot of nice photos of the game, but a lot of times we don't use photos because really they don't have anything to do with the outcome of the game or what happened. But there's some great photos that he and Keith Nordstrom take. So in the coming issues of PFW, we're going to highlight some of the best photos from 2006, and we're going to take all the photos and put them up on PFWonline.com.
Every photo they took?
Well
we asked them to put their best of the best together.
Best of, you know, like 40 of each of
them. Like David gave me a CD today with about 40 photos on it. It won't be in the first issue that's coming out next Tuesday. It'll be issue number 2, which will be the March issue.
Right.
We'll have at least some in that one and maybe even in the one following that. But he gave us about 40 or 45 photos, and we'll probably pick, you know, 8 or 10 of what we think are the best to run in the paper, and Fred suggested we'll put them all up on PFW Online, so they'll all be available. There's a lot of good stuff that really doesn't have a place in the paper, so it'll be, you know, an opportunity to get some more stuff out there.
So that's pretty good. There'll be more stuff coming. Just want to tease people a little bit. All right, let's get to the emails. Ravi says, great job covering this season. What prospects do you think the Patriots will be targeting in the draft? If you answer this next Wednesday on air, which we are, then it will be after the Senior Bowl. I hope, personally, they get Dwayne Bowe and Patrick Willis. What about trading the first rounders into the top 4 and trying for Calvin Johnson? I know that's not the kind of thing they do, and they have lots of needs, but this year they should have a lot of conditional picks, and they could address needs later in the draft. If Brady had a game-breaking wide receiver like Johnson, I'm almost scared to think what kind of effect that would have on the Patriots' offense. What do you think, guys?
They have as just a good a chance of getting Calvin Johnson as they would Reggie Bush last year. That's basically what it comes down to.
I don't think they have enough to get up to number 4.
Certainly not just the first rounders, as he said.
Right.
Besides, it's a very deep receiver draft, so there's no need to go up that high. You can get one even if they don't take one in the first round, in the second round.
And the
so
mentality
on.
Of dealing with the other needs later in the draft is how they've gotten in trouble at linebacker, because they've dealt with that need late in the draft and haven't gotten any playmakers out of it.
I'll be pretty surprised, regardless of who the player is, if they don't take either an outside pass rusher type or an inside linebacker with one of the first 2 picks.
I would too.
Because I'm not, at that point, I'm not really sure what their strategy is.
Mm. Right.
All right. Maybe they could make a deal with a team that's a little higher up who already has what they need at linebacker. you know, to target somebody, make sure they get their guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't be set against, and I don't think that they would be set against moving up with 24 and 28 to get to maybe the mid-teens or something like that. But I just think getting up to the top five, they don't have enough.
No.
And I also agree with Tom's point that if ever there was a year that you wouldn't do that for a guy like Calvin Johnson, this is the year, because they're talking about 5, 6, 7 possible first-round picks, first-round, top half of the second-round wide receivers. There's a lot of guys. It's not just Calvin Johnson and Dwayne Jarrett. I mean, there's, you know, Teddy Ginn.
But he mentioned the Bow guy.
Dwayne Bow, Sidney Rice. I mean, there's a lot of good receivers available this year.
And the Bow guy, by the way, is we watched him practice and some different things, and he can be very, very impressive, but then he has some of those plays where you just go, what happened there? Like a bad drop or a deflection. I don't know whether he takes plays off or concentration is an issue, but some plays he looks like a man among boys, and then he has a few really bad plays.
Mm. Ryan from Arlington, Virginia. His title is Felger Cap Story and Tom Casale for Mayor. Okay, suppose that...
You're moving down, by the way.
I noticed that.
Soon it's going to be City Council, Tom Casale.
Suppose they did use the extra 06 cap money to overpay Vinatieri Gibbons.
Governor's Council.
Let me start again.
Sorry.
Suppose they did use the extra 06 cap money to overpay Vinatieri, Gibbons, and Branch, who was already under contract. Beautiful, right? Wrong. Dan Copen never signs the extension, figuring he can get more money. Samuel, Bantikane, and Graham figure their paydays are next. Seymour gets
less. They are, and they're probably going to be gone, so.
Seymour gets a bit less cooperative about moving around his numbers without another raise. Overnight, you will have empowered every agent representing Pats players to say, you paid David Givens, of all people. You can't find some money for us.
People.
This was tried once before. The cap management of Andy Wasichuk under the Greer Carroll years overpaid players. As a result, Belichick and Pioli inherited a 2000 team in cap hell. It is by being hard-headed value shoppers that the Pats have the best bottom of the roster in football. One legit criticism might be that they need to upgrade their working definitions of value given the higher cap numbers. This can easily be done with a percentage adjustment. Suppose that before they thought a Daniel Graham caliber player was worth $3 million in cap space. Now it might be $4 million. Provided they do that, they should be able to do the minor upgrades you're describing.
Okay. Well, let's start with this. How close do you think they were to going to the Super Bowl?
One first down.
Any of those players maybe could have provided that?
Yeah.
So if you, quote-unquote, overpaid any of those guys, might that have been translated into a Super Bowl?
Well, I mean...
Would that be okay?
But at what cost? What's the cost?
Quote-unquote, overpaying. That would be the cost.
But down the road, what's the cost to 07, 08, 09?
What would be the difference? Well, you're trying to tell me Dan Copen wouldn't have been re-signing?
I don't know. I'm just saying...
Because if you think that Dan Copen re-signed because they didn't sign David Givens, Deion Branch, and Adam Vinatieri, then that's quite a leap.
Well, I think
opinion. What
he's saying is if you go and overspend for these guys, Dan Copen's going to want you to overspend for him.
Let's get rid of the overspending thing, because guys get is what they get.
I think the Titans paid more than what I think Givens was worth, even his value. No. I think they overspent on him.
I think you get what you get, and that's market value.
What they get.
Whatever you get is market value. Whatever someone's willing to pay you is market value. That's what the market sets the value.
Well,
the Patriots might think that the guy got more than they were willing to
pay. So no guy is ever overpaid in the NFL?
That's not what I said.
Adam Archuleta.
That's not what I said.
There are teams that are willing to spend more than what the market value is.
The Patriots are willing to give David Givens.
The Patriots aren't one of those teams.
20 million? 5 years, 20 million, something like that, I forget the exact amount.
It was right up there.
It was a very slight difference between what Tennessee gave David Givens and what the Patriots gave.
The bonus up front was hugely different.
No, it wasn't.
I think it was.
It wasn't.
What did he
According
get up front?
To Brad Blank's piece and Ron Borges' piece about Brad Blank in the Globe, the numbers weren't all that different. Now, maybe there's a conflict there because Brad Blank is also Ron Borges' advisor, so maybe some of that wasn't
Tyler. I just remember all of us shaking our head when we found out what the guaranteed money was.
I shook my head when I found out how much the Patriots were willing to offer Givens. I was very surprised they were willing to go that high for Givens.
I don't think the guaranteed money was anywhere near what Tennessee offered.
What did Tennessee get?
I just remember there was a big gap there.
What was it?
Wasn't it 8?
Something like that. It was
8. So, like, how different could it have been?
24 overall, 8.
It was definitely 24. 8 sounds right. I don't remember what the Patriots.
I think it was all about how much he was getting in the first year.
Yes.
Was the big difference, not how much he was guaranteed. But I might be wrong on that.
I don't recollect.
I don't always remember the numbers, entirely accurate. And I will give the disclaimer that the version of the story that we read was from Brad Blank, who was Givens' agent and also Ron Borges' agent.
But two things
that story.
About the
email. That's a big disclaimer.
One, if they had done that, he says, well, then Daniel Graham, Asante Samuel might be gone. Well, we kind of think they're gone.
They
anyway.
Might be gone now.
So you didn't get the first group, and you might not be getting the second group. But I do agree with they need to reassess their value system. And I don't think it is like this blow the system up that they use, but they need to realize that with all these other teams having money, you need to bump up
on
a guy.
The end of that email, I wholeheartedly agree
and
with.
And he's probably right. It's probably, $3 million might now be $4 million, or $6 million might now be $7 million.
But I think that's all it was with the players in question. I think there's this perception that there was this continental divide between Adam Vinatieri, Indianapolis, and Adam Vinatieri with the Patriots were willing to give him. There wasn't.
Well, no, but
I think that was little to do with money.
I think I think that's the little thing that they're talking about, this little adjustment.
But I think
I don't think you need to say, you know what, we have to rethink what we're doing because we're losing all these guys. I'm not advocating that.
But that's a different argument because I don't think that was money. I also, the Deion Branch thing to some degree wasn't really money. It was, are we ripping up and giving you a new contract, or do we make you play out your rookie contract?
I agree with
that. So these are other aspects of the negotiation that aren't necessarily the bottom line dollar.
Yeah, I agree with the Branch thing. That was something totally different with that whole last year of the contract. I agree.
And I think the Vinatieri thing. He got wind that he was being railroaded.
Because of the money.
And also
that started it.
And also
I think he was thought he was getting railroaded by his agent.
Yeah, and also Polian said, here, it's a deal. If you leave, it's off the table.
Well, that was after.
I know.
I think he was pissy by that point.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it was personal, and it was,
oh yeah,
I want to get out.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's worked out for him.
I agree with that.
Because he's in the Super Bowl now.
Yeah, you can't say it hasn't.
I mean, he certainly, that's not one of those where you make an emotional decision, and then when you're 3-13 the next year, you say, wow, did it really matter that much? It worked out on both ends for him. He could stick it to the Patriots, and he has a chance to win another Super Bowl with a kick.
It's like Damian Woody. I mean, Damian Woody made a lot of money going to the Lions.
Well, but I think that's way different because that was a lot of money.
But I think
that was a continental divide. Right. That was, I mean, there's no way the Patriots were willing to pay him that kind of money at the time.
That was huge money. Didn't
he
get the most for
Copen,
a guard at that
this,
point?
This is 3 years later, and Copen didn't get that kind of money, and Copen signed one of the most lucrative interior lineman deals there was. And this is 3 years later he didn't get Woody money, I think, right?
What?
Woody's still...
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's not the biggest. Like, Hutchinson is by far the biggest.
And that was a fraud deal.
There's a couple of big
The Hutchinson
contracts
deal
since.
Was a fraud deal to get
but
him
at
away
the time,
from that restricted
I think
free
Woody's was the biggest ever at the time.
Yes, it was.
Another example of a team overpaying. All right.
That one I would say they overpaid. That
Josh.
I would agree with you.
Josh says, let's see. I don't know what he says. I don't know where he's from. But anyway, he says, I haven't been listening very long. I finally got around to getting an iPod a couple weeks ago.
Welcome and found, to the crowd.
And found your podcasts on iTunes, and I listen to them at work since I can't listen live at work. From the few podcasts that I have heard, I'm wishing that I would have gotten an iPod sooner. Too bad this season's over now.
Well, maybe if he had some good picks, he would have gotten one.
That's right. We're going to continue doing this throughout the offseason every Wednesday. Josh, you can listen. He goes, I'm a huge Pats fan, originally from Leominster, now living in Chattanooga. And I'm glad that I have a way to get updates on everything Patriots. I just had a couple of things to throw in from relating to the past couple shows. First, in the game before the Colts, you talked about the likelihood of football passing baseball as the number one sport in Boston. As much as I would like to see that happen, I don't think it's possible. If the Celtics couldn't do it with 15 championships in 30 years, then nothing will do it. I love baseball and the Red Sox, but I'm usually just wishing the season was over by August. While we are only days removed from the end of the football season, and I'm wanting more and wishing the football season was only 3 months away, not baseball. Second, what took so long to talk about the second Caldwell drop pass against the Colts? Caldwell did a good job for us for most of the season, but that drop pass, far more than anything else, is what cost us the game. He had a clear shot at getting into the end zone untouched.
I disagree with that.
Well, I don't think he would have got into the end zone untouched.
He would even come close.
He might not have got the first down.
Yeah, behind the play, you saw two Colts flash in.
Well, there
and
was,
they would have
was
stopped
41
him
was running right at him.
Yeah.
I think 41 makes
I don't
the
know
tackle.
What it looked like on TV.
He may have gotten a first down.
He may have.
Yeah. But people just say he was automatically in the end zone if he catches the ball.
Wasn't that like a 30?
Yeah.
Now
I don't know how far
it was.
Brady,
ways out.
He wasn't getting in.
Now, had Brady seen him sooner and quick snapped and got it, maybe then he would have gotten in.
Right. But there's a lot of ifs.
Right.
When the drop took place, I think his best case scenario there is a first down.
And it was an important play. I'm not diminishing it because it would have allowed them to get closer.
But it's morphed into more.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that 10 years from now, he was actually in the end zone when he dropped the
ball. He's actually going to be Bill Buckner in 10 years and have cost him the game.
Josh goes on to say, I'm glad nobody got on Brady for throwing the INT at the end. The guys calling the game said going into the drive that Brady would have to take some chances if he expected to score. That's what he did, and it didn't pay off. Not really a lot you can do there. Finally, you mentioned that this isn't a great year for free agent talent, and teams won't have to make as many cap cuts. My question is, what teams are pressing the limits of the cap and may need to cut loose some key players, and what players do you foresee being let loose
Colts.
Due to cap reasons?
Redskins.
Maybe we address our
Redskins
safety issues there. After all, Rodney Harrison, Lawyer Malloy, and John Lynch are all high-caliber safeties that have been cut loose for cap reasons. I still think about how great our secondary would have been with Ty Law, Lawyer Malloy, and Rodney Harrison. Too bad we never got to see that.
Well, there's some good safeties out there, actually. That's one of the few positions where there's a little depth. Ken Hamlin, Mike Doss, and Michael Lewis from Philadelphia, I think, is pretty interesting because he started there for 3 years and kind of fell out of favor, and they replaced him midway through this season. But he's that kind of guy who's played a lot for a good team, and maybe a change of scenery would do him some good. And since he was benched the middle of the year, I don't think he's going to, you know, command huge money on the open market. So maybe a player like that. But there are some pretty good safeties out there.
Yeah, I actually had a call 2 weeks ago about Michael Lewis. My fear about him would be Brian Dawkins. You know, it would be like the Eugene Wilson syndrome. You know, how good is Michael Lewis and how good is Brian Dawkins? And how much did he succeed because he had an all-pro caliber playing next to him? And I don't know the answer to that. I don't watch all the Eagles games. You know, I see, you know, the occasional one here or there. But, you know, he lost his job. I'm wondering, you know, just how good he
is. But don't you think that puts him, like when I try to think of a Patriot, I try to think of someone they'll pay for.
Yeah, see, I'm trying to think.
Losing his job may put him into the pay range where.
Yeah, but what is he? That's a
question. What are you getting? I'm not saying whether or not they'd be interested.
You need to find a playmaker. If Harrison is coming back, but you can't count on him. If Wilson's not what we thought he was 2 years ago, James Sanders, you need a playmaker back there. And is Lewis a playmaker?
I understand what you're saying to me, but if it was for me, I'd be signing Ken Hamlin. But I don't work for the Patriots. They bring in guys like Eric Warfield and Monty Beisel.
Right, and I'm not interested in who I think they might sign because of in the past these are the guys they've looked at. I'm interested in who they could sign that could help the team. And, you know, I guess I'm just an idiot because I keep hoping that they break out of that. Let's try to find, you know, nothing and make them into something. Let's try to get something and make them something even better. That's what I would like to see them do.
Then that's Ken Hamlin.
Well, I like Ken Hamlin.
I like Ken. Well, I actually don't know what he is now.
Well,
I didn't see much of him this year. I liked him heading into this year.
He had, yeah.
Before he broke his skull last year.
He looked pretty good until that incident, but.
And Mike Felger is now looking up Ken Hamlin.
Ken Hamlin is doing a Google search.
Doss is always injured. He's
Doss I really liked, but you're right, Tom.
He's missed a ton of time the last couple of years.
He's a free agent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is Nick Harper. And it's with Freeney being a free agent, it's
doubtful. They're right at the cap. Yeah. And Polian already said, we're signing Dwight Freeney. He's not going anywhere. Well, you need to do some work if you're going to sign Dwight Freeney.
Cato June is another
one. Well, the contracts expire March 1st, but in the next PFW, we'll have the list of all the to-be free agents as of that date. So you'll have your complete list. How are we going to do it? By position?
We do it by position,
position? So
sure.
You'll be able to see who's out there, who will be out there. Of course, that doesn't take into consideration guys that might be cut for other reasons, but...
Who Fred thinks you
That'll
can make
happen.
An all-pro team with.
Sometimes you can. Let's see.
15 years ago, you could.
Neil is in North Carolina. He likes the podcast. Helps him keep tabs on what's going on.
The cheerleader one?
He would have to agree with Tom. That's not meant for men. I would have to agree with Tom on the 3rd and 10 call to run, Heath Evans.
Hey,
my fiance
someone.
Looked at me.
Did you join Dick for a little while?
My fiance looked at me when this play took place, and she yelled, "What the hell was that?" To which I had no answer. I know we wanted points and got a field goal, but even if we only gained 5 yards, I think we put ourselves in a reasonable fourth down position. What are you going to do, though? The game was hard to watch. It reminded me of the Sox-Yankees game 7 of 03. I know outsiders loved it, but I found it to be torture. I also must admit that even at halftime,
pretty good analogy.
I felt uneasy. We were up 21-6, but it felt like we really hadn't done anything in dominant fashion. The Pats tried to hang in there, and I'm proud of the season, but I think it was painfully obvious the lack of playmakers on both sides of the ball in the fourth quarter. So, and then he goes on to break down what do we need in every
That's
position.
A good analogy, yeah. You know, that game 7 of 2003. But, you know, there were so many plays. We're still talking about it here, 11 days later. There's so many plays in that game. We'll never get every nuance that we need to that needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
Out of that game,
I mean, there's
so much.
There's so many pivotal plays that if that was different, you know.
So Bill Belichick is Grady Little. Left Eric Alexander out there too long.
Hey Tom, did you ever watch that Playmaker show when it was on?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
It was all right.
We were like the only three people that liked it.
I used to watch it.
Me, Andy, and Gary.
I'm still shocked it hasn't popped up anywhere. I don't know how you'd get the idea, but like a Showtime
or an HBO.
I just think
it shows the power of the NFL.
Yeah, I think the NFL made it go away.
They can really squash you like a bug.
Yeah.
Vinny and Azra writes in. By the way,
Where's Azra?
I don't know.
Who's Vinny?
Sure it's not Arizona or something?
No, it says Vinny and Azra.
Oh.
I thought he said Vinny
in Azra is what he said.
No, and. By the way, you are more than terrific. This was one of my favorite shows. Now on to the business side of things. People complain the whole season about Tom Brady, what's going on with him. Maybe they should try to throw a ball to his receivers. Even the media people said over and over again that it's a shame that a quarterback like him does not have better receivers to throw the ball to. My question is one, do you guys feel that Belichick would try to get better receivers for next season? And two, how can one team that has a star quarterback not listen to his requests and just get rid of his favorite receivers? I don't care how much they cost. Can you imagine if Peyton Manning lost Wayne and Harrison? Actually, on TV, they said that the only other famous quarterback that lost both of his starting receivers was Dan Marino. Also, something that you said about the club early in March last season, it sends a very bad message to other players when you do not re-sign people like Adam and Dion. On that note, I think you should keep Asante. Well, I think they will try to upgrade that wide receiver.
Well, that brings into question another thing. Do they stink at evaluating receivers? Because if you look at it on paper from last March and April, on paper it was Rishe Caldwell, Chad Jackson, and Deion Branch, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad receiving core if you keep Branch and Jackson does absolutely anything at all as a rookie and Caldwell is your veteran kind of 40-catch guy, whatever. That's not – well, now you clearly blew the Jackson.
If you remember,
pick.
That was my stance the whole offseason.
Right. Well, you kind
of – I was so wrong about.
In terms of a rookie production, you blew the Jackson pick. He did nothing. And you kind of – the negotiation with Branch went south, so you ended up with just Caldwell. But looking back even to what's his name from Carolina, in a haze, Donald Hayes. They haven't exactly – I mean, you got Gibbons.
I mean, they got Branch and they got Givens in the draft, which – Givens, I give him less credit for that.
Quirky pick.
Well, just the fact that it's a seventh-round pick, you obviously didn't think that guy was a great
pick. A pick you passed on.
I mean, forgetting...
He was so good, you weren't ready to take him.
Forgetting about the circumstances with which he was taken. But Branch is a good pick that they obviously targeted, and they similarly targeted Jackson, and he so far has not been
a good pick.
Bethel Johnson, a guy they also targeted, not a good pick. So
maybe they have
you
some
do wonder if
picking
that's a,
the talent
if that's
for their
a blind spot.
Well, they picked Givens, but then they got rid of him. You know?
Oh, do you listen when we talk?
You really don't listen.
I told them to stop making me laugh.
Tom's just—he's doing the whole show, actually holding on to his throat.
Well, then you guys make a valid point. You talk about Givens, and then Fred goes, "Yeah, but they drafted Givens."
He just doesn't listen.
But that's the beauty of Fred.
Paul,
we love him.
Paul is from North Carolina, and he's really done his homework.
Okay.
First, he says he loves the podcast, and he's disappointed about the AFC Championship. But we mentioned before that if you have guys that you're interested in us scouting when you guys go to the combine, give us a list. So he's created a table with all by position the guys he wants you guys to look at and the questions that he wants you to ask them. So I'll forward you this. And
Tom C.
You guys can take this and basically fold it up and put it in your pocket. When you're walking around, you can refer to it.
You could be like the goose. You could be like the goose. You blocked a punt as a high school senior, and you came from the outside. Is that correct? Whereas the other time you went from up the middle.
That's also correct.
Let's see. Choice. Michael LaFrance is from Montreal. He says, I can attest to how utterly disgusted I was with the third down draw play to Heath Evans. If Gostkowski's field goal nicks the crossbar on the way in, maybe I change my mind. But with that much time left in Indy, I can't believe they didn't go for the first down. The next day, my boss, a Bengals fan who knew how diehard I am about the Pats, asked me how I felt, and I specifically told him that was the play that really burned me, more so than the 12-man penalty, because at least the penalty was on first down, and you still had a chance to get 15 yards. Belichick would say that they ran the play that gave them the best chance to win, but in that case, that just isn't true. I felt better pretty quick, however, after ranting to my boss about the Patriots' game decisions. I asked him how he was doing, and he replied, Chris Henry's in jail. Good one.
He's going to the pokey.
Second, I wanted to wait a week to ask this because I hate those fans that complain about the officiating just as much as you guys do. But I was confused about the pass interference call against Hobbs. He clearly did not turn around to look at the ball, and in most cases I agree when that happens. But Hobbs didn't touch Wayne at all. He just put up his hands and the ball hit him. Is it seriously pass interference simply to knock the ball down without looking? I thought face guarding wasn't considered pass interference. That seems ludicrous to me, or did the official believe Hobbs had his hands on Wayne?
Well, they since come out and said that that was a mistake. So,
well, then they came out and said it wasn't a mistake.
The league says it wasn't a mistake.
Of course they did.
You know. Further solidifying their status as have being infallible.
Well, the thing is, the guy that said it was a mistake was a guy in the booth.
Right.
The guy who said it wasn't a mistake is a PR guy.
No, the league. Well, you think he just made that up on his own?
Carrera.
No, it was Aiello that said it.
Right.
It
from Mike Pereira.
I mean, so if Stacey James make an announcement, that's Stacey James making
I'm
the announcement
saying,
or the organization?
I'm just saying.
What are you saying?
I'm just saying.
But
shouldn't have been a penalty.
Greg Aiello's job is to communicate the league's views.
It's a tough one because if you're looking at that full speed one time, you see the guy kind of flailing around with his back to the play, you know, I can see where they thought it might have been, but you can't.
Well, he's got to touch him.
Right.
The league said that there was contact.
You can't throw a flag on what you think
contact.
Might right. probably happen. You have to see it.
Right.
And if it doesn't happen, how can you see it? You know?
Right.
You're kind of.
I don't know. What are you saying?
What I'm saying is I can see. You know,
they ruled that there was contact. I didn't see contact.
I know. But
I mean,
but if there wasn't.
Judgment call.
But if there wasn't contact, okay.
It's not a penalty.
Right.
If there wasn't contact.
And if there really, truly wasn't contact, how could a ref say, well, I called it like I saw it?
Fred, if there was contact.
If there wasn't contact on the play, and I don't think there was contact on the play, okay? He was within a millimeter of
right.
making contact
very close.
On the play.
Yeah.
It's not like it was an egregiously bad call.
I can't stand it. I can see the other side when they don't throw a flag and they should have because they didn't see contact. But when you say you see something that didn't happen, that burns me.
See, this
call,
when they do throw a flag when they should have, and then they pick it up.
That's the ones that bother me the most. Because in other words, you saw what everybody else saw, and then decided, never mind, no
Ellis
flag.
Ellis Hobbs again.
But I thought this call was nowhere near as bad as the one on Asante Samuel in Denver last year. Not even close. I didn't even think it was in the same category.
Well, I think the fact that Hobbs again had his back and his arms.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it confused the ref.
So I can sit. Well, I don't think he was confused.
Now we have confused officials that are making 75K.
He sees a guy out of position, flailing wildly, and he thought there was contact. I don't think there was contact, and I don't think there should have been a flag.
And even but if they didn't call it,
my opinion
been,
doesn't
it
count.
It would have been third and seven, and the way the Colts are moving the ball, well,
they
got
you know,
seven
you never
yards.
Know.
They only converted 53% of their third downs.
They could have had a touchdown.
That's quite a leap you're making there.
Matt says,
I got yelled at for saying that on Sunday, by the way.
Matt says he's from the educated part of Iowa, Ames, home of Iowa State University. I just wanted to ask about which linebackers you think would fit in the Pats 3-4 scheme. Tom sounded like he likes Rufus Alexander and Buster Davis. Personally, I don't think it could get any better.
You like
getting
Buster Davis? kind of like him.
I didn't say that.
I would say he's too small for this.
I don't think it could get any better than getting two guys named Rufus and Buster. Those names just scream greatness. Thanks for keeping me updated on my favorite team, and I look forward to your upcoming draft coverage.
I don't want any part of Buster Davis.
What does he weigh?
240-something.
He's that big? He's like 5'10 and 240?
Yep.
Yeah, he's
Is he fat?
Except he plays high.
Like London,
he doesn't look 240.
He's like the London Fletcher type of build.
He certainly didn't look 240 at Florida State, but...
I mentioned Rufus Alexander before, but I don't really like Buster Davis for here. I think he has to be in the right defense, and this isn't it for him.
I'm not even sure he's going to be good in the pros.
Let's see. Yarick is from Toronto. He says, I'm still fuming about the Colts game and probably will be until the Pats beat the Colts again. I might cheer up if the Colts lose the Super Bowl on pass interference calls, though. I just keep going over the pass interference calls and non-calls in the game, and it's driving me insane. I'm getting pretty sick and tired of them, and more so because they screwed the Pats the last two seasons. Last year, Samuel on Lele.
Wait a second, Fred.
Yeah.
In the AFC Championship game here, okay, when they beat the Colts, was that holding on Marcus Pollard?
It was probably at least
was assault, brother. Yeah. Okay. So, shut up.
This year, Hobbs on Wayne. Hayden on Caldwell.
He's going to lose his presidency soon if he keeps talking like
that. That's it. Garbage collector, Tom Casale.
I don't know if you know, Tom, but those are the kinds of comments I made yesterday that allowed me to paint with a broad brush.
Seriously, all three of these calls are game-changing. I know the Pats could have won the game with just one or two more plays at any point in the game, but that's besides the point. It can't just help a team make a play because they couldn't. Anyways, my question is, why isn't pass interference challengeable, especially in the end zone, which gives pretty much an automatic touchdown? What can we, as fans of the game, do to get the competition committee to change this bull, and I won't say the rest of it.
Let me ask you guys a question. The Ellis Hobbs and Reggie Wayne in the corner of the end zone before the half, that was a close one.
Yep.
It looked like they kind of tangled up. But would you agree that about 90% of the time they call that pass interference and there was a flag thrown on that play and they picked up?
And I also think that contact between the two prior to Wayne tripping over his own feet caused Wayne to trip over his own feet.
There were bad calls for the Colts, too.
I don't think he tripped over his own feet. I think he had some help from Ellis Hobbs.
Well, if you watched him just from the part where he actually tripped, Hobbs didn't make contact with him while he was tripping. So everybody said, well, he just got his feet tangled up.
It's the step before that when
the
foot's moving forward and he knocks it out of line so that it hits
his own
foot.
I think there was contact between the two before he tripped.
I think it had nothing to do with feet. It was his left arm wrapped around his waist that I thought was interference at the goal line.
And that's why I think he ended up tripping over his own feet was that arm.
The Patriots gave up 32 points in the second half.
They had a 21-3 lead.
Yeah.
I agree with what Andy said during the game, that everything pretty much evened out for both teams all the way around. It's not like Denver last year where one really bad call might have changed the complexion of the game. This game was different. They kind of evened out, and you got to give the Colts credit for scoring that
better
many points
team
the
at
Patriots.
Home won.
And you know what? I agree that I think that the Hobbs call was wrong. I just said I don't think there was contact in that play. So they, you know, even if they stop them on the third down and they kick a field goal, they allowed 28 points in the second half.
Right.
And maybe you win the game, but I mean, that let's not make this out to be like Indianapolis didn't deserve to win. You know, maybe the Patriots, if they only allowed 28 instead of 32, maybe they ultimately win the game.
Yeah, the pressure was on the Patriots, and even if those calls didn't happen, chances are the way things were happening, something else would have that would have helped the Colts. So.
And I certainly think if the Colts had lost, the loser meant that we'd be making fun of right now with Bill Polian and
such. The Gaffney call was one.
Would have been that.
Or non-call.
You know, and that was a close call. I'm not saying it was the wrong call. That was a close call, too. And I think the one that Tom just mentioned about the Hobbs and Wayne one in the end zone, where they throw the flag and then they talk about it for 25 minutes and then pick it up, cost them 4 points.
Plus, Polian accused the Patriots of stealing their signals with a camera.
You getting updated information on this?
That's what I heard.
From who?
From someone. That he was screaming
about. Because I told you the story about, I mean, he's acting all coy with me, but I told you the story about the argument that I overheard between Polian and Steve Alec, I heard something about a tape.
Yeah.
So that's why I want to know if you actually heard something or you're just being Fred.
I heard that, first of all, Polian has to approve all the media credentials. Okay, this is the president of the team. You know, he has to approve every media credential that is handed out. He, before the game, was not – usually Kraft Sports Productions has two sideline cameras because of all the stuff that we do, Matt Smith's crew. And he wasn't going to give our second crew credit. He wasn't going to let them on the field at all. They finally did get on the field, and then he accused them of filming or pointing their camera at the Colts sideline in an attempt to steal their signals.
I have no comment.
Yeah. How
wouldn't be the first time they've been accused of such things.
So what do they do? Run the tape to the Avid room and cut it up? And I mean, come on.
I have no idea.
Or just play it back.
Yeah. When?
I think it would be.
I don't know anything about.
I think it would be highly naive to think that teams don't try to do that stuff.
Well, then we wouldn't have all the video that we would need for the three games to glory goes wild if we won. If they were
three games to glory goes wild.
That was going to be the name of it.
But it was four games.
Well,
it?
Three games plus the wild card. Three games to glory goes wild.
Would you get sued by Girls Gone Wild?
I don't know. I'm only kidding.
I know. I would hope so.
Let's see. Mark.
Wait, there's two ways to look at that, I guess, though.
I don't know, but I'm just keeping my mouth
no,
shut.
No, no, no. I'm talking about the video thing. You could say this isn't the first time they've been accused of it.
Right.
So sooner or later, where there's smoke, there's fire. Or you could look at it the other way, I guess, objectively.
Because
other people are complaining. Polian, who's clearly a little off his rocker at times and kind of falls right. into these traps, is
I don't
saying,
have
oh, they're cheating. Oh, they're cheating.
I don't
oh,
have enough bad things to
say. Why would they do it again?
You know, it is, we're different than other teams in that we do have two in-house camera crews on the field. But obviously, we do stuff with that, you know? And
yeah,
and most
do.
Teams don't. Most teams
Super
don't.
Bowl.
Most teams don't even have one. They rely on NFL, you know, so suspicions arrive, but, right, you know.
But as I said, I don't know the truth. I don't think you know the truth, definitively. Either way, I know what you feel, but you can look at it two ways. All the complaints are could just be sort of building upon themselves, or maybe they're really doing it every week and people are starting to notice.
Well, it's not working. It didn't work.
Well, that's just because they had Eric Alexander.
let's see. Mark with a C.
Not a successful
answer.
Season, Fred?
I think it was.
Okay. I agree.
A highly successful season.
I heard your
season.
Rant.
I agree.
I think it was a successful season.
Highly.
Highly.
Yeah. Wasn't the ultimate success, obviously,
no.
But it was successful. Guys hate to see the season end the way it did, but the Colts deserved it. I was watching the New England cable news, and you all were on it.
Uh-oh.
You should plug that more often. I would like to watch the show. Also, it's so funny to see you guys match up with your voices. I think Tom's voice doesn't match up with him at all. He looks like... at all what he looks like. I was expecting a much older person, but you guys are all awesome.
He's older than he looks.
Tom's my favorite. Hopefully he is hosting the show a lot more next season.
He can host any day he wants.
I was going to say, we can arrange that.
Let's not start writing in those emails.
Because Andy and I hate hosting.
Now is there any type of, you know, colleague jealousy going on with you and Andy, Paul and Andy? About Tom, because Tom is getting a lot of love.
Well, you not know what? It, no, but you know what the no. difference is?
Not at all.
Jealous of Paul because he makes money.
No, they.
I don't care if people like Tom.
They've been here for years, though. Everybody's used to them.
They already hate us. And sooner or later,
yeah,
they'll start
when
hating
we started,
Tom.
No one got the love letters like you got. Even when we were. You know.
I'm just happy in my role as Gilligan.
Yeah,
everything revolves
if
around
if anyone's harm love letter. If there's any jealousy, it's us towards Paul. I mean,
I don't know if you know, he makes a good deal of money outside the this building.
Any kickbacks?
Nothing.
You know what?
He doesn't even throw our name out there often enough to try to get us into some
better,
of these gigs.
Better when he was Ted Sarandis and he was getting the
right. At least we got
once,
lunch out of it every
while
other Friday.
We get some food out.
I get nothing now.
Paul Borello of Patriots Weekly is here.
That last thing that you just said really bothered me. I don't throw your name out there enough. You know how many times I throw their names out there?
You do a lot.
I appreciate.
I even throw your name out there a lot.
I tell you, I was driving my son to basketball game in Bridgewater. On Sunday. And
why are you pointing
you
at me? I don't live
name.
In Bridgewater.
I thought you were from Bridgewater. Where are you from, Jakes?
He lives in Dartmouth.
Dartmouth. That's the same area.
Not even close.
Not really.
And is that where you're from, Dartmouth?
Yes.
Okay. And twice you mentioned
Bridgewater.
My name.
I always mention. Whenever something comes up that we have talked about, I always mention where it originated.
So
I hear him mention your name,
so
but it's usually not good.
I said to Connor.
It's usually not in a positive
I said to
light.
Connor, I go, hey, Paul just mentioned my name. He goes, was it good?
See, because Connor clearly listens.
Connor obviously
usually
listens.
You're the butt of the joke when he mentions your name.
Well, right? A lot of times we talk about the Buffalo defense and Fred's name comes up.
Well, it's pretty good.
Especially the week after they gave up like 40 to the Bears that week.
And, you know, I appreciate the emails, but if Paul wants to trade, I'll start sending an email saying how much I love Paul, and I'll take his
cash his checks.
Yeah.
First of all, that's highly overrated.
What, money? Because no, I don't think it is.
No, the amount that you guys are talking about. I don't know why you think it's so much. It's not.
You're rich. You're right on Fred's heels.
Yeah.
Right on his heels.
I'm buying $1,200
Now, yours is around $600 to $800
Right.
It's in the ballpark.
Right.
Let's see. Murphy writes in, I'm currently running a men's soccer team named the Patriots in the Liverpool Business House League Division. Currently at the bottom, but are improving. We are trying to promote our non-professional team
Change
and get mass media attention. We would be most thrilled if you could help in any way in promoting us on the other side of the Atlantic,
oh,
or possibly have
there.
One of our players in a talk show or other type of promotion. Any input you would really would help. Thank you. Why would we promote?
Gary, can you help that guy out? Have him on the in the net soccer
show?
Why not?
Yeah, maybe with the Reds.
Have him on in the net.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't be that booked.
You know, yet another aspect of the ridiculousness of what Andy just was talking about, by the way, making fun of me. They're
back to Paul. They're always back to Paul.
They're jealous of me, yet they can't stop making fun of me.
Right.
So how does that work?
Down.
Where's the jealousy go? I don't get it.
I'm pointing out your flaws so that eventually Glenn Ordway will hear and say, you know what?
Right.
Andy's right. I need Andy on, not Paul, that windbag.
There you go. Well,
what EEI needs to do is put all of you on.
All of us
maybe
on.
If
we need this show on real radio.
Maybe if you could get on one of these shows and not get called a, you know, bad word that begins with a P
and ends
with
a K. And he said it on real radio. Can we say that on
this
air?
Twice you elicited that word from the host.
No.
Who called you a little
prick.
Can I say that?
All right. Hey, you never know. That ESPN radio could, you know, because they're invested.
Crossing. Is EEI not going to the Super Bowl at all?
EEI is not going to the Super Bowl.
That's it. Because, I mean, Felger's there. Felger's doing his radio show live from
Let me ask you mother's something. House or something. I don't know.
Whatever. At least they're there. People
I heard the radio station in Providence actually offered to stay at somebody's house,
and they still
wouldn't let him go.
But that's what I'm saying. A listener doesn't care whether they know the backstory. They're just saying, wow, ESPN Radio's in at the Super Bowl. They're investing. You know, maybe that's a good sign.
Yeah.
Plus, there's a lot of NFL people down
right.
there.
It's a great network. I'm telling you. You hang around that media row, and there's guys floating in and out.
Which is why we should go to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Mike and the Mad Dog go down every year, and they're always pulling people in to interview.
Right.
And
well, I just think that ESPN Radio, it's in Bristol, Connecticut's interest to have a thriving radio station in a major market like Boston. So I think they're going to do everything they can to make that
right
work.
Now they have a radio station.
Right.
That thriving word isn't quite there.
That Andy Hart.
I produce a show in Hawaii.
Gary will go to Hawaii. Let's go.
Sure, let's go.
He knows all the good spots to hit. He can probably get us a deal on hotel and airfare. He knows how to get there cheap, right, Gary?
Absolutely.
Fred, can we do it?
No.
Dan Kraft told me we should.
Yeah.
Dan Kraft said, I have his vote. Tell you that
he did.
In his opinion,
is,
we should
true.
Be there.
You got a better chance of seeing God.
You have one Kraft vote, he said.
Yeah, I got one Kraft vote. How many do I need?
Harry in Bagram. I'll tell you what.
Isn't there a Harry Kraft?
Thank you, Robert.
Can I get his vote?
Line up $500,000 in sponsorships and you can go.
$500,000?
Yeah.
I don't even know how to line up a dollar in a sponsorship.
But I think it's a waste of time.
So do I.
I've heard that's the best access you can get anywhere.
Oh, it's good access.
To players
guys
and coaches.
Are loose, you know.
It's of course, like, we have no players.
Right.
Well, no, but Bill, all the coaches here, the equipment guys, I'll
can
be
you imagine,
working.
Can you imagine Bill's face if he saw, like, you or I or Tom
show
like,
up
walking up? Hey, Bill.
Hey, Bill, want to get dinner tonight?
And have that throw-up face
Luau?
On.
Paul's got the sunscreen on his nose. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Bill, what's going on?
In all honesty, if he saw me, he wouldn't know who I was. So.
Joining us now, Don Brosher.
Brosh, so how do you decide to go from the half-inch to the three-quarter spike? What goes into that?
And the change over to, like, the field turf type surface
that
they've
entail?
Had. What, you know, how does that change the...
When are we going to get those throwbacks?
Harry and Bagram... Afghanistan says, I don't know if I can bring myself to watch the Super Bowl because I'm sure the whole time I'll be thinking about the Pats should be there. The Colts are our nemesis, and Grossman is terrible. I can't think of a reason to root for either team. I would have become a temporary Saints fan, but even that was denied. Could you please provide me some motivation to root for somebody? Here it is. Root against Bill Polian. That's what I'm going to do.
You know,
that's not what I was
it brings
say.
Up an interesting question. Someone actually called last night. The question: do you
back
think
to Paul's appearances
think
on
the
real
Boston,
radio again?
Do you think the Boston ratings for the Super Bowl will be worse than normal. And I'm not talking about when the Patriots are.
Patriots fans are sore losers. Patriots fans are going to not watch.
Will they be the?
I think it'll be the same.
I think they'll be the same as last year. I think that's what I contended. I agree with Tom.
I give New England fans more credit for sore losers.
It's the Super Bowl.
It's like Media Day.
If anything, it might be up because we were so close this year, and now a lot of people root
against the Colts. Yeah.
I think it'll
for whatever reason, I just think the Super Bowl is
the Super Bowl. NFL
fans watch the Super Bowl regardless of who's
absolutely.
And he brought up Rex Grossman. I've been hearing too much crap on ESPN. Rex Grossman versus Peyton Manning. I don't think they're going to be playing against each other.
No.
The thing to watch that I'm going to be
interested in is the Bears'
defense against Peyton Manning.
Yes.
Do they make him check down? Do they
see the Bears
him?
Have something the Patriots don't, in which
speed,
talent,
right?
Oh, I mean speed and athleticism.
They don't. I mean, come
Patriots don't have talent?
I didn't say that.
No,
he did,
and you let him get away with it.
Joking. Jeez.
Talent, and they were one play away.
But that's the Urlacher's like a safety. He's a safety in a linebacker's body.
Briggs is a phenomenal covered linebacker, too. So
that's different, and it's going to be interesting to see how...
Anyway, it is 116, so if we're going to talk about Super Bowl, keep that in mind.
Take the under.
We should probably bring up something that Lance Briggs said yesterday in the Boston papers, both the Globe and the Herald. Briggs is a free agent. You know, we've been talking about him as a possibility.
Pulled a Tom Jackson.
Said,
let me get this straight. Yeah, I hate.
Does not like the 3-4 defense. Played in it in college at Arizona and had said that I don't really like playing in that system. I don't think that in and of itself eliminates him as a candidate, but I would think that if you're going to get him, you're going to have to probably do what everybody else does, evidently, overpay for him. I think you'd have to pay him a lot of money, a lot more than maybe you might if you had a different kind of system. But he said he doesn't like playing in the 3-4.
That's
interesting.
Came right out and said it. Let's see. But then again,
his agent slapped
Jason
him
Taylor,
when he got back.
Didn't Jason Taylor have some things about the 3-4 as well? And he ended up being pretty good.
He had some reservations when Saban
But he
came.
Was already there.
Right.
He wasn't picking a place to go.
Right. You're right.
Plus, he's a creature. I mean, everybody's a creature. They don't like change in
general.
And I'm sure that Briggs would be a good player regardless of the system. Right. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about if I have my choice to play in this or this.
As a free agent, you're picking everything.
You're picking wherever you want.
It goes from system down to schools and wife
Jason
and
Taylor
family
didn't have that freedom. He had to play in the 3-4 or a hybrid of the 3-4 that Miami has used the last 2 years.
Let's see. Harry keeps going. He says, these are things he learned this season. One, most announcers suck. The most amusing line I heard on TV all season was, quote, he did a good job getting pushed on that play. Two, Plaxico Burress carries a shank. He abuses corners and pushes off so much we have determined he is armed and will sometime run a shank pattern and stab the defensive back on him. Three, Jeff Garcia is being chased by invisible monkeys. After watching a player like Brady be so stable in the pocket, it is amazing to see Garcia run around crazy with no defenders anywhere near him. There is only one explanation. He's being attacked on the field by invisible monkeys. I actually watched him stiff-arm one on a naked bootleg. Two more months
Hall
here.
Hall wants him as his franchise quarterback.
How long are we going here?
Two more months here and no more football to watch. Having only one podcast a week to download doesn't help. Thanks for the great coverage all year. Hopefully we can get a good tight end or fullback in the draft.
He's from Rutgers. His name is Brian Leonard.
But I think he was being funny.
I'm not.
Oh.
Hey, for the first time in that email.
Let's see. Dermot O'Callaghan writes in.
This is the good Irish drunk, not the bad Irish drunk.
Is it?
You know, there's good drunks and there's bad drunks. He's a good drunk.
Well, he says, the depression after the Colts debacle has lifted finally. After much consideration, I'm willing to start the offseason in a conciliatory mood. I would hope that Andy might refrain from the Irish bashing / calling people from Ireland potato poo throwing drunks, etc.
I never said potato poo throwing.
In return, I promise to no longer refer to his oversized head hitting studio microphones, or to suggest he demonstrates similar physical characteristics to Stewie Griffin. Who's Stewie Griffin?
The family guy. Baby with the big football-shaped head.
Anyway, hey, that's a good one. I might call you Stewie from now on. Anyway, looking ahead into the offseason, I was hoping you could give us a heads-up on the latest Asante situation. Is he likely to head off to Denver, or be
headhunted
by the Jets. I hope there is some headway made up in the upcoming contract talks as he can make heads up plays that will serve the team well.
I heard I
hear he feels aggrieved by the most recent offer and is headstrong enough to walk. As I say, no more shots at Andy. And that's Dermot from Dublin, not Texas.
So how'd you like giving head?
P.S., is this the Tom Casale erstwhile coach writer? If it is, and I assume it is, I thought you'd look angrier somehow. No, it isn't. There's another Tom Casale out there?
God, that's Colts a scary writer. Thought.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Well, you were lobbying for a job, you know.
I guess.
Well, look at that douchebag.
All Fred's ideas, you were going to go to Bill Polian.
On Colts.scout.com, there's a Tom Casale. You ever write for Scout.com?
Not for the Colts.
Oh, sure about that?
Did you click on the link?
No.
Oh, okay, I'll
lose everything if I do that.
That's
the
Chiefs
answer I should give, not Fred, right? Am I wrong about that?
What is your title again?
Executive Director of New Interactive Media.
And you can't open a link.
Nick,
without losing everything.
Nick says, boys, I'm pissed. I was reading my weekly TSN. What is that, Sporting News?
Yep.
And I get to the end, and there is an article saying coaching is overrated. That sooner or later, everyone will be 8-8 every year. Winners of a coin toss will advance. Now, I will accept that coaches don't play, but they are very important. Usually I don't read Kindred's column, since they are usually full of inane prattle. But when I saw a picture of Marty and Bill, I had to. He basically blames the Chargers' loss on McCree. McCree made a bad play, but there are a few reasons Marty is a dope. And lucky to still have a job. The loss was Marty's fault for the following reasons, and he goes into all the reasons that we've talked to.
What's this from? The
at the sporting news, I guess. So anyway, he says, does the league and the media hate the Patriots so much that we can't get any love? Napoleon Harris is an unrestricted free agent. Do we want him? Could we afford him? And I know it's way too early, but mock drafts have us taking Patrick Willis, inside linebacker from Ole Miss. He was defensive MVP in the Senior Bowl. Tom, what do you know about him?
Well, we covered him pretty good on the website. I watched him a couple of years now at Mississippi, a few games. He's a good player. I think he's the best inside linebacker in the draft. So I don't know if he'll be there when the Patriots pick because he's kind of rising up the draft boards and he has a good combine and everything else.
I'm saying he's going to be there. I think he's a guy who's going to have that rise up and then come back down as they start to nitpick his flaws right before the draft.
Paul, what are you reading?
Well, just a press release that was issued in August of 2005. Colt Powell proudly announces the addition of Tom Casale, fantasy football expert and sports writer to our staff.
Let me see that.
The addition of Tom Casale adds yet another dimension of commentary and analysis for Colt Powell members and fans as we enter the 2005 season. Tom is a recognized expert on fantasy football, having established himself for the past 5 years at GridironGrumbling.com.
That's you!
There's a big picture of him.
Big nose.
Are you moonlighting?
This is 2005, some kind Fred. Of joke.
Are you moonlighting? Let me see that.
No, it's 2005.
When was this?
2005.
August of 2005. Ago. So August. Around the time you were hired.
Yeah, here. Right when you were sending Fred your email about Stefan Starring.
Wow.
August of 2005,
right before
you. It's about a month
here.
Before you got hired here.
Yeah, I was working for the Chiefs and the Browns sites.
And the Colts, apparently.
There it is, though, right?
Let me see.
It's printed on the Internet. I mean, what more proof do you want?
I know.
The only thing that could make it more legitimate if it was on Wikipedia.
Right. Paul, I mean, Tom, he's a traitor. Working for the Colts.
He's a double agent. Interesting. Who did the Patriots lose to in the AFC title game?
Articles. Just says that I'm working for
him. Well, you must have had conversations with him. Come on, Tom. Come clean.
Interesting.
I'm telling you that I think this is some kind of joke.
I'm telling you, I think you're a double spy working for the Colts, and that's why the Colts beat the Patriots.
Don't you think I see what's going on here? Don't you think I understand what's happening?
You got to get another picture, too.
Tom's starting to sweat.
I don't even know what this picture is.
Well, it's a picture of you.
I'll tell you. Not a good one.
But you can tell it's been screwed with because look at my eyes. I don't have black. I have light blue eyes.
Well, it's a black and white photo.
It is a black and white printout.
But no, you can see.
I think Tom's ODing on cold medicine.
This was photoshopped. Fred, you know Photoshop. You could see that this
Fred couldn't even open the link. How does he know Photoshop?
Jeez, what do you want from him? It's just the director of new media.
This is, someone has something to do with this, and I'm going to get to the bottom of it.
I'm going to have to put that in the file.
Every time we print something off the internet, whether it's the not page for Tom and his wife getting married or this.
Well, no, that was real.
Well, you claimed it wasn't there anymore, and only the person it's who printed it could find it.
But why would I care if I wrote for this? Why wouldn't it be on my resume? I'm just going to say,
Well, maybe you were in the middle of negotiation with several places when you came here.
That's
which is okay. You had a lot of irons in the fire.
Obviously,
man.
Fred, you came to the table with a little bit more than Colt Power.
Doesn't
was
say much
to
for Colt
up.
Power
Fred,
or Chief Weekly.
Well, that's what do you mean? I was freelance stuff. He made like $50 an article.
No, I'm just saying, you were looking
which
for
is
a
about,
full-time
which is
job.
What you make here.
Which explains how he won the bidding war.
This isn't a full-time job. This is just garbage.
All right. I mean, it's okay if
it's
you,
okay. You
were,
don't have to lie
were
about
thinking
it.
About working for them. That's all right.
I never did anything for Colt Power.
I didn't say you did anything, but were you at one time set up to start doing things with
them? Hey, Andy, did you ever work for another NFL team?
No.
I never.
I've been loyal to this organization since the day I was born.
I never worked for
except for the day with 2 days' notice. You said you were quitting, but that's
a very good point. By
and
you,
while
Fred.
I'm excited about my future at Dighton Rehoboth, I will miss you.
Tom's talents will be a great addition to Jerry Langston's.
Clearly, someone who doesn't know anything that he's talking about.
Your former boss.
Yeah. Don't you remember Jerry? You guys had dinner.
I'm not a joke.
I don't know. Anyway,
probably created by you guys.
Ours would be much better than that if we did it.
Not me. I don't
the
know.
Words of Michelle Mews.
That.
If I was going to do that, I have more design skills than that.
Yeah, the guy's got a tough sweatshirt on out there.
Like
me, he's mopping the floor.
PJ says, I was listening to last week's show, and I have a couple of things to say. First off, I think you guys are being a little hard on the front office of the Pats. You guys were all over them on the show last week, talking about misses in the draft and free agency. I agree that they did miss on some players, but who hasn't? The Pats have had and are still having an amazing run in the era of free agent, considering how long they've been good. There is not a team in the league who has had the success the Pats have had for as long a time as they've had it. The Eagles and Pats are widely criticized for being cheap and having a reputation amongst players, yet they are always the teams that are contending for Super Bowls. If that is making bad personnel decisions, then I hope the Pats front office stays terrible. On to the draft.
Eagles are criticized for being cheap?
Yeah.
Can you guys...
The same people that criticize the Patriots in Pittsburgh.
Well, I'm just, I mean, they
have signed, the same. They have the same kind of system.
They sign McNabb. They sign Westbrook. They sign Dawkins.
Javon
they
Kearse.
Need a pass rusher. They go get Javon Kearse. They need a wide receiver. They go get T.O. They need a receiver again. They go get Dante Stallworth. Well, I missed the part where they're being cheap and trying to sign seventh-round picks.
People are wrong.
They've let a lot of free agents go.
Yeah, and most of them have worked out for them, haven't
well,
they?
Same could be said for the Patriots.
Yeah, but I missed the part where the Patriots signed the best wide receiver available, the best defensive
end. Well, they
end
signed the best
available.
Linebacker available 1 year.
Yeah, 1 year, 17 years ago.
But I don't think the
I think the Eagles,
Dante Stallworth was not the most expensive wide receiver available.
No, I mean, but all we heard around
he
here should have gone and gotten Dante Stallworth, a far better option than
Gabriel. But that wasn't an indication of going out and spending a lot of money or resources.
But I just missed the point where they didn't spend money and they weren't willing to go get what they needed.
The criticism is wrong of the Eagles.
Right.
I don't think that
necessarily they're unfairly lumped in with the Patriots.
And it's wrong of the Patriots.
I don't
well.
See.
Oh,
I don't
know about that.
I think they have a very similar style. Like guys like Jeremiah Trotter, they've allowed to leave. I mean, that's what they've done.
But
can
they've
you guys
signed other guys?
Not a lot, though.
I just happen to think when you invest in T.O. and Javon Kearse, those are two of the
T.O.
biggest
is
prizes
a,
on,
is a
on
major
the
departure from what they would do. So
how long are we going here?
And it came 3 years after they
another
were
half hour.
They were trying to get over the hump. I mean. T.O. is definitely an exception to their rule.
I just think they've done it more than the Patriots on a larger level. Even Roosevelt Colvin wasn't on that big a level.
Can you guys...
Did they overpay for him, Fred?
Who?
Roosevelt Colvin. Did the Patriots overpay for him?
No, it didn't really hurt their cap that much.
Oh, at so the that... time, no, but at now, yes.
But that's, I guess that's the... If it doesn't hurt your cap, it's not considered over.
Because I thought they didn't overpay, but now the way he's playing, he's got a $7 million cap figure. I'd like to renegotiate that, please.
Let's see. PJ says, can you guys check out Jay Moore from my beloved Nebraska Huskers at the Combine? He's an outside linebacker that some people project to the 3-4. He's projected to go in the mid-second round range.
He's a guy you guys will be watching, right?
Jay Moore.
Yeah. He's the one that had the 3 sacks in the Senior Bowl.
What number was he wearing?
I never liked his comedy.
Is he wearing a 90 or something?
No, that's a character.
That's the
Adam,
end in a 3-4.
Adam Carrick.
He can play end in a 3-4 or 4-3.
Moore had three sacks in the Senior Bowl, but two times he was untouched.
Dan Klecko sacks?
Yeah, it was. But him and Stuart Bradley is the other guy from Nebraska who played outside linebacker, lanky type of guy.
Let's see. Justin in Alaska says, let the emperor live. Don't let me hear you guys suggest again that Al Davis should die. As long as he's alive, the Raiders will stink. That's one less AFC team that we have to worry about. I have respect for his history in the game, save his abuse of Pete Rozelle and him suing the NFL every other year. But when he dies and a real owner comes in, they might rebuild effectively. So that is true. Well, as long as he's there, that team will never succeed. So.
True enough.
How
the mighty have fallen.
Also,
we're hoping everybody else stinks.
So Justin wants to know what the over-under is on Teddy Bruschi retiring. What do you think?
I don't know how to answer it in an over-under format.
Well,
but
do you
yes,
think it,
retire.
I don't think he'll retire. But he will retire someday. I don't really. I'm with Andy on that one. I don't know how to answer that.
I'm going to be right. He's going to retire someday. So I said yes.
let's see.
I'm still perplexed.
Coaching, he says, now that we're done.
He's caressing his throat while reading that article from Colts Power.
which I'm thinking about suing over. It says I was on talk shows in Baltimore and Indianapolis. I've never been on a talk show in either one of those cities. Sports radio shows. I got to get to the bottom of this.
It's not the same as Brady's image on Yahoo, Tom.
Yeah, what are you going to sue for? Am I going to see you on the People's Court?
Right.
Ba-dun-dun.
Justin says, now that we're done, I'll ask my question that was premature a couple weeks ago. I agree with Fred. Allow me to apologize. If Bill Belichick announced that he wanted to take a couple years off and retired, but Pioli stayed, who would we want to be our next head coach of the New England Patriots?
Kirk Ferentz.
Why do you say that?
I like him. He's a nice guy. He's done a decent job at Iowa, even though he's a bit overrated because he's never really gotten over the hump when he's supposed to have all these good teams, and then they lose a couple games and fall out of the national title.
I do like New England very much.
But I like him a lot.
I have no idea.
Kirk Ferentz. It's hard right now.
How would I know? That's why I'm just throwing a name out there.
I mean, I've said Jeff Fisher before, but now he's tied up again.
There's those names we throw around. Jeff Fisher,
yeah.
Overrated John Fox.
I'd like to see a young guy that hasn't been a head coach.
How about Eric Mangini?
That probably is
Mike Singletary. I've liked what I've seen from him of late.
How about Eric Mangini?
He's employed.
I know, but so we're just throwing names out.
No, I don't want Mangini.
Okay. Why?
Because I meet the new coach, same as the old coach.
Yeah, Mike Singletary. I'm running with him.
My favorite was him mixing
How do you know
salad.
He wouldn't be any? Well, I'm just talking. Paul, would you have Mike Singletary? Because, you know, with a new guy,
no idea.
You don't know if they're going to be any more of a dictator. Than
I know nothing about Mike Singletary.
Yeah,
so,
but when you're starting at the bottom of the barrel, everything else is up.
Terrible. Russell says, I didn't realize how hooked I was on this show till I only can get it once a week. It's like I'm going through heroin withdrawals. Tom, that line of when is someone going to take one for the team and put a pillow over Al Davis's head and say Al died in his sleep was friggin' brilliant. I've said before, all you guys are great, but if Casale ever leaves, it would be like when Curly left the Stooges. Mo and Larry were still good.
I agree wholeheartedly with that analogy.
He's the biggest stooge.
Mo and Larry were still good, and Shemp was solid, but it wasn't the same. In the world of
so
the
Fred
Patriots,
Shemp.
I don't know. In the world,
like Curly Joe.
In the world of the Patriots, it's nice to see the Patriots sitting at 12th in the league with nearly $27 million in cap space. You think Brady will restructure or be asked to? As $11 million is a pretty big cap hit. I do understand the boy has to eat, but luckily supermodels don't. That's a good point.
Well, they do, but usually they puke it up.
Well, she has her own money anyway.
They're actually more expensive.
Now, if Brady could improve upon one thing, I'd like to see him improve his throwing on the run. Manning, over the last couple of years, appears to have worked on that, and in both the regular season game and playoff game, he made some throws that really killed the Pats while he was on the run and occasionally with a Patriot hanging on him. If Brady does that, trouble won't be so constant as Matt Light watches guys like Taylor and Freeney run by him. And for what it's worth, I'm waking up nightly from the bad dream of the run on 3rd and 10. Love the show. Have a good week.
Yeah, that one stuck with us, too, that 3rd and 10 run.
Hey, Matt Light's played pretty well lately.
I thought Matt Light played great against Freeney.
I just finished writing his award in the PFW award section. Ever since he got his butt whooped, yeah, along with the rest of the line down in Miami. I thought he put together a pretty good, whatever it was, six-game stretch.
Or, yeah, I agree.
Lights out was nothing.
Kyle from Wakefield, New Hampshire. I know most of you are probably picking the Colts to win the game, but I was just wondering who all of you are actually rooting for in the Super Bowl. Personally, if the Colts win, I'll be looking for a nice high bridge or building to get the job done, because I'll have to hear more "is Manning the best ever" talk. I can't understand why everyone loves him. I mean, at least 90% of all the media want to bend him over the table.
Tom does.
I can hear Ron Jaworski now after the game, and this is what makes Peyton Manning the best in pro football.
This is a very explosive team that is big and fast and can score in a large number of ways.
What is that called?
I can't stand
that
the guy.
That was not related to anything we were just talking about.
He is a hillbilly, and I hope Jim Sorgi has to finish the game. P.S. Who finishes their career with more rings, Tom Brady or Adam Vinatieri?
Adam Vinatieri.
Why do you say that?
Well, he's got
just
a chance
because
to
you're
win.
A spiteful
no,
because
he's got a chance to win another one today. That puts him ahead. So I'll automate. I mean, you know, I don't think Super Bowl rings are all that easy to get.
They're
and
not.
If he goes up 4-3, I think the best chance, best case scenario, most likely case is he wins 4-3. I mean, I don't think they're that easy to get where you just project. I know Patriots fans say,
I know.
Well, if they
everything
sign Lance Briggs, maybe they can win another 3 or 4 rings over the next 5 years. Well, it's not that easy.
Anyone
that's
but
why
Patriots.
It was so impressive that they won 3
okay.
out of 4.
It's all right.
I'm just trying to be objective and realistic.
Should
here.
We not give our views then?
I didn't know Super Bowl rings were a
but
dime
he's
a dozen.
He's just so quick, Adam Vinatieri.
Because he can
so
win
quick.
One this year.
It's not even a question.
Because he can win one
any
this
little
year.
Knife you can
four
stick in
three.
The hearts of Patriots see, Nation, you're going to take.
Andy, if the Patriots had won last week and the Patriots were going to play in the Super Bowl on Sunday,
I'd take
would
Brady.
You be saying Brady?
Yes,
no,
because
wouldn't.
I think they're hard to
a
get.
4-3
and
advantage.
If you have an immediate advantage, then you're most likely going to finish
in
winning.
That category. That's like a 1-0 lead in
right.
soccer.
Well, exactly.
I'm going to have to take Fred's side here. You
shut
guys,
up.
You guys
there's a surprise.
You guys are always against the Patriots, and apparently
here we go.
For the Colts.
10 minutes. 10 minutes left in the show.
So,
is that where we're at?
More than that.
Yeah. 13.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm actually a spy for the Colts. I just
shameless suck up.
All right, Sawyer from Waterloo.
Wait, who are we rooting for? We didn't answer the question.
We'll
I'm
get,
afraid,
to, we'll
I'm
get
afraid,
to that at the end.
To be honest with you, I'm afraid.
So we're going to say who we pick and who we're rooting
yeah.
for.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. Sawyer from Waterloo says, boy, a week between your shows is brutal. You guys do a great job, and thank you for your work scouting. With that said, I almost stopped listening when Tom asked if I was wearing a Bledsoe jersey. I actually bought my wife a home and away Bledsoe jersey back when she was in high school, but those were given to Goodwill in 1999.
You were horrible.
I'm wondering your thoughts on Aaron Ross. I'm not impressed, but I only have about 5 minutes of play to go off of. When Iowa played Texas in their bowl, I heard how good this guy was. Then I saw him get beat like a drunken Irishman. If you get beat by an Iowa receiver, you are going to have a short, embarrassing NFL career. As for the Super Bowl, I think the Colts are going to win. Peyton showed me that he is mentally ready after playing his typical Colts versus Pats first half and then coming back to win the game. I don't think Rex has the capability, although it's pretty cold in Florida. Do you think snow would mess up Peyton's head?
Yes. I think it would be over if it snowed.
All right.
That
really,
Ross guy, from
really
what I
like
saw,
him.
He struggled in senior bowl practices.
Well, someone asked PFW about the cornerbacks, and I hadn't really looked at them yet. But my first impression was if Aaron Ross won the Jim Thorpe Award, I bet it's a weak year. And I looked, and it's Ross and Leon Hall from Michigan,
yep.
who I don't like, are the two top corners. I would guess, just looking at the list, that this is going to be a year where some of your better corners come in the third, fourth, fifth
right.
round, because the two top guys I don't really like at all.
Now,
and,
granted, I was watching the receivers. You're talking about six guys in the first round, so it's clearly a deeper class. So when you're watching good receivers beat good corners, I guess there's not necessarily a shame in that, but he didn't look good at practice.
No, and the other thing is that a John Rook, who would find any possible way ever to tell you that a Texas Longhorn is
great.
Good, thinks that Ross is overrated as well. So that'll tell you a lot right there, because he doesn't miss a Texas game.
Good, so we'll look for that name in the third round after everybody projects him in the first.
Steve from Lincoln, Nebraska. First, I want to say that I read Tom's Senior Bowl article, and it was very well done. He really does a good job of describing players and giving us insight on how they'd fit with the Patriots. I'm looking forward to when Tom and Andy come back from the combine to hear what they think of some of the prospects. I was wondering what you guys thought of Nebraska's Stuart Bradley. I've heard he projects as a 3-4 outside linebacker in the NFL. You think he would be a good fit in the Patriots system? Keep up the good work. It sucks that you were only on once a week. I even miss Fred.
I love those little lines at the end. The A-team and Fred.
All right, anything to do with the Patriots. You want to just jab. Just
it's funny, they didn't say it. They just said you.
Stick the knife in.
You really
I'm so negative, you know, and they still like me.
You don't take it well, Fred. You really don't take
it
well.
I'm fine.
But this has been a sudden turn. I mean, last year when I was first here, it wasn't like this. Everybody
right. At some
Fred.
Point, everybody turned on Fred.
Yeah, well, I have to think that there was some... You know, egging on by you guys.
You're right. I called every emailer personally, had a conversation, said, you know what? Let's turn on Fred.
Well, it's because Tom took Fred's place with his shameless sucking up in the last 10 minutes of
the show.
Tom
is the shameless suck up, and he brings knowledge to the table.
We used to do this thing before Brian would come down. We'd say, okay. We tell all the listeners now we're going to set Brian up.
We've never done that with you.
But we haven't needed to do that with you.
Oh, okay.
It's all natural,
I know.
Baby.
Fred, see, Fred, I'm the suck-up that said that Bill Belichick's 3rd-and-10 call was one of the worst calls I've ever seen in championship game
we'll
history.
We'll see what you have to say in the last 10 minutes
it's
of the show.
It's just jealousy.
It is.
Belichick took a shot. You know, he thought he saw something with the defense. Sometimes they don't work out. But they got a field goal out of it.
It's all it is. It's just jealousy.
Fred, you don't handle it well.
Yeah, well, you know.
You don't.
I'm not the one that gets all red with veins coming out of my face.
You don't handle it well.
Okay.
Fire him, Fred.
You know, it'd be something. If anything ever happened to this job for Paul, all that other stuff goes away.
It's true.
It's true.
You know?
And then I slide into all that other stuff, hopefully.
Well, I don't know about that.
That's
true. Tom could leapfrog you.
That's
true. And to take it a step further, I become Mr. Mom because I have no appreciable skills.
I'd love to be Mr. Mom.
Really?
I think I would enjoy that.
Oh, God.
Why not?
Just talking to myself here. All right.
Go ahead. No, bring it
Nothing
up.
Nothing to do with you, but, man, I couldn't stand being home.
Why?
Oh, just couldn't do it.
I think I'd enjoy it.
I would write a book if I didn't have a job.
I wouldn't do anything. I would do everything I had to do to be the Mr. Mom guy, but I'd be hanging out.
Well, I would do all that
practice,
stuff, but I would work.
Up the ladies.
I would work.
Why not?
I would work on writing a book.
So now you're having a kid soon, right, Andy?
Yeah.
When is it due?
April.
April. So the fear that I have is that, you know, you
Chris
get the
Berman
baby in the crib, and then, like, you know, it's just looking up, like, all happy and goo-goo gaga. And then this big head comes over the railing of the how are you going to deal with
Scars
that?
Scars the kid for life.
Yeah, how are you going to deal with that?
Well, my wife's more worried about if the kid has my head.
Ooh. Yeah. Say no
I was
more.
Just thinking that.
Say no more. Let's see. TG says, I don't know what's worse, losing the AFC Championship game or now having to deal with only one PFW broadcast per week for the offseason.
Are these people serious or are they just like laying it on thick?
No,
I think they're really laying it on.
I think last week, y'all made the point that there are very few free agent options this offseason for the Patriots, and if they don't spend some money on the talent they have, somebody else will, most likely their biggest competitors. Now, you guys aren't all that stupid, Fred being the exception, and Andy just getting an exception by default. So you got to think that the big boys, Belichick and Pioli, have to know this as well. I mean, they are the great football minds that run the organization, right?
Right.
I would really be surprised and somewhat disappointed if there is another talent bleed like last year. Can we put a little sugar in that Kool-Aid? Maybe at least some sweet and low. They must know now that they have to sweeten up their offers. I mean, you guys see it. The listeners see it. That said, they show Graham the money, try to franchise Asante, and lose him. He's too expensive, and there are too many areas on the team that need addressing. Can't put all that money into one player, even if he is a Bailey-esque shutdown corner.
But you know they look at it like they can let Asante go, sign a veteran for $1 million, and then draft a guy and say, you know what, we can do enough that way. I mean, that's sort of how
that
they
works up
look
to
at
a
it.
Point, but now we're getting to the point where, that might not work.
But I don't think, you know, he's saying the listeners see it and you guys see it. They got to see it. I'm not sure they look at it that way, and they believe that they can fill it with other options without just throwing money out
Why
there.
Why is Kyle here?
Does he have food?
I just wanted to point something out. That when we do this show, Fred takes a break every 6 minutes. And the day I can barely talk and
Straight
my throat's
through.
Killing me, he didn't take one freaking break.
Well, there's so many emails I want to try to get to them.
Well, the other part of the Samuel situation that you guys were just talking about is the cornerback situation in the draft.
Right.
Doesn't seem to be, you know.
Very weak.
You know, if that's that's usually a position of strength in most drafts.
Yep.
And if it's not this year, then maybe that changes their mindset as well, because the chances of them finding one there that can step in and play, I mean, I'm not talking about start, but play right away, sounds like it's a little slim.
Right, so here's where we caress Fred's ego, because he's been on the Asani Samuel, he'll be back thing. What are you hearing? Got another week? This is where you're our source.
You're still
feeling confident that Asani Samuel will be back?
I do. Because of why wouldn't they? They've got one of the best on their team now. You know, it's not like,
you know, this isn't making me feel any better, because I thought you actually heard or felt something.
You know, let's
right.
go back
just
to
the feeling.
I mean, let's go back to last
your
year.
Your feelings?
Let's go back to last useless. Year. I mean, they got rid of Givens, but they thought, and they screwed up, but they thought they were going to keep Branch. Mm-hmm. You know, they made a play for Javon Walker, probably not as hard as they should have, because they thought they were going to have Deion Branch. Well, they've got Samuel, even though he's not under contract like Branch is. You got to make every effort to keep this guy, because who else are you going to bring in?
Nate Clemens.
There's no one else
That's
right now on
the
team. Are you thinking
in.
That Ellis Hobbs is as good as Samuel?
As
Even
Hobbs
if he is, now you got to fill in that hole. You know, so I just don't. I got to see them going hard at Samuel. This, you know, I just, you know. All right, let's Bill see.
I don't even care.
What are we doing?
If he's soft or hard or whatever.
Are we going to do our Super Bowl picks at any point in
the
show?
Yeah, you know, we should get to those. So why don't we do that? Why don't we go around the table? It's quarter of.
Let's start with Paul. You have to pick who you're taking and who you're rooting for and why.
Why do we have to do that?
Because an emailer asked for who we are rooting for, and we're an email-driven show, and part of the reason we're so popular and people are lamenting the fact that we're only once a week is that we answer the emails.
Okay. Andy, you're full of crap.
Tom, what are we setting the number at? 7.5 or 7?
It should be 7 because it's down to like 6.5 at some places.
Okay. So we'll say 7. I like the Colts in the game to win. I like Chicago to get a backdoor cover and keep it somewhat close, although most Super Bowls don't generally go the way that the regular season games do. But I will say that the whole key, in my opinion, would be the Bears' ability to run the ball. If they can run the ball and, control the line of scrimmage and force Indy to keep Sanders up to the line and do that kind of stuff, I think they can be competitive. However, I think Indy's offense is going to be too much. There's not going to be – Chicago relies on taking the ball away, and Indy has been very effective in not turning the ball over. So, therefore, I like the Colts. And, Andy, to answer your question, I'm rooting for the Colts. The only thing that would be – one aspect that I would not like to see the Colts win is Bill Polian. I don't want anything good to happen for him, but – there's a couple of former Patriots that I like on Indy. I'd like to see them get a ring.
Dan Franco.
And I also think that Peyton Manning is a great player, and I think great players, I think it's a shame if they end up not getting a ring. So I'm rooting for the Colts to win.
We know who Tom's rooting for because he gets a ring if the Colts win.
Well, that's true.
Apparently he works for
Working for Colt Power.
Actually, I won't be here the next couple of days, Fred. I'm going to be pretty sick. I'm not going to be down to Miami or anything.
And I'm planning on going to a tanning booth, so don't be alarmed by the tan that I come back with.
Is it my turn?
Sure.
We're doing it.
Evidently, Andy's running the show all of a sudden.
Somebody's got to. It's my show. I'm Gilligan.
I think this is going to be a very close game now. I think the Bears have a good chance to upset them. I'm going to go with a better team and say that the Colts make a play at the end, but I'm looking at a 2017 game. Colts win. I don't know. I'm rooting for the under. I guess if you had told me to... I don't root for...
Gun to your head, who are you rooting for?
The Colts.
Okay.
Because I like Dan Klecko. I think he's a nice guy, so I hope he scores a touchdown in the game in a Super Bowl.
He'll be giggling like a schoolgirl again.
So I'm going to root for the Colts. I have no reason to root for the Bears. I mean, I don't hate the Colts after this game because I don't like the Colts, but I thought that they played such a good game against the Patriots that they earned the respect of the Patriots players, and they earned my respect too by winning that game and such the way they did it. So I hope they win.
Okay.
I am taking the Colts to win, and I think they'll cover. I think the Bears will put up a good fight. I actually think they're going to have to kick some field goals. That'll be the difference. They won't be able to put it in the end zone enough. I think I said last 27-16, somewhere in there.
And I'm rooting for the Colts for a lot of the reasons Paul is. I've never gotten the whole Peyton Manning's a loser thing, like he's this bad guy. I've never really seen what he's done to deserve hate. I think there's a lot of people in this world that have shown me.
Well, who hates him?
Patriots fans.
Listen to any of our emails.
Everybody hates him, and I don't get it. I like his commercials.
They just hate him because he plays for the Colts.
But people seem to personally hate him. I mean, these people rooting against him in this game and rooting and not watching because of him.
Because he's going to be more insufferable, I think, was the way one of the emailers put it.
He's this cool, calm, collected, but he's a great quarterback, and
I think all those commercials he does, I think that shows how down to earth he is.
Tremendous.
I mean, he makes fun of himself.
But for some reason, it's a bad thing.
That's how I feel about it. And I also think that Tom Brady has the opportunity to do just as much and turns down a lot of it.
Right. He does.
And he did Saturday Night Live and wasn't half as funny as Peyton Manning in three commercials.
And you know, it's like the
maybe
emailer
he just
that said
do it as well.
The emailer that said I can hear Ron Jaworski now.
I mean, Russ Hochstein stole his one big commercial.
I know. Just jabbing.
Hey there.
Okay. Hi there.
All right.
Why is Paul mad now?
Why can't I be the director?
That's being ridiculous. Putting words in everybody's mouth again.
I'm going to pick the Colts. I think they'll win. I'm going to root, though, for the Bears.
So, Dan Klecko, that whole love affair that lasted 4 years or whatever is just gone. You just kick him to the curb.
Forget him. You know,
perfect example.
Probably rooting for him to break his leg.
An ex-patriot.
The spiteful person I am,
on.
I just want, after the show that Polian made in that last game, I want him to lose the ultimate game like he did 4 times in a row with the Bills.
It's actually not true, but that's okay.
Why? He wasn't there all 4 years?
No.
How many years was he there?
3.
All right, so 3 years.
I just want to make sure you're informed.
It was still his team.
Why start now?
You know, so I'm. You know, I think that would be great.
I'm rooting for Billy Joel singing the anthem.
He's
like
singing
Billy
the
Joel.
Anthem?
Yeah, I like Billy
and then
Joel.
Prince is doing halftime?
I don't love Prince.
Yeah.
Boy, he's sold out, huh? He's on American Idol last year, and now he's doing the Super Bowl.
Times must be tough for the man formerly known as.
Is he Prince again?
They've been saying he's Prince, okay. That stupid little symbol.
To Prince. Yeah.
But no, I'm just rooting for a good game. And some of the commercials. Are they definitely doing that proposal? Is that definitive?
What proposal?
The guy who tried to raise $2.5 million to do his own ad where he was going to propose to his girlfriend.
Oh, really?
And he raised $70,000. But then some company came in and was going to allow him to do it as part of their ad or something, and I hadn't heard the latest.
Wow,
that
commercial's really going to suck.
Yeah.
Like, I give a crap about anybody proposing
Tom
to their
Casale.
Wife. Seriously, though.
Very negative.
No, but the guy for Boise State who did it, like, hey, buddy.
Right.
That should be a private moment, you loser. I just think, I think that's ridiculous. I think it's somebody who's pining for attention. Just do it.
Just trying to be different.
That's not different, though. I've
never seen a Super Bowl commercial that had a proposal.
Look at that. Everybody does it in public now, at a football game, at a baseball game, on the big screen. Give me a break. You're a bunch of
we got a rant out of him.
He's never happy.
He isn't.
I agree with him. You know, I think it's exhibitionism. You know?
I like young girls. Well, Andy, would you want to do?
Well, first of all, my wife would be pissed.
It's not for me.
Yeah, it's not.
My wife would be very
much
not happy.
I understand wanting to make the proposal a memorable moment, but for you.
Yeah.
Not for the rest of the world.
It can be a personal memorable moment, not a 80 billion people memorable. Well, you didn't have to go off on a commercial.
I literally proposed in
the
bathroom.
You're the one that started it.
What?
You know what? You're kind of like Kramer where Jerry
says,
I don't even ask anymore.
Yeah, don't ask.
I don't even ask anymore.
Patrick from Minnesota says, I'm a Patriots fan, and yes, I'm going to watch the Super Bowl. I think the Colts are going to win, but I hope someone else besides Manning wins the MVP. That would make me laugh. I guess that, there you go.
Okay. Well, the thing that would, I mean, really, Patriots fans will enjoy is if he has a terrible game and they just happen to win, you know, 15-12 on field goals, and he throws 4 picks.
Well, if they lose,
I think that you have all goals, I don't think they're going to be happy.
See, I think Patriots fans will take more joy out of him throwing up on himself while the rest of the team wins.
See, I would just go with it doesn't matter with you. It's all about winning. It's directing a win.
Right.
But I think
if he wins, he gets a ring.
If he plays, whether he plays poorly or very well and they lose, I think that whole thing continues to get perpetuated.
Let's see.
Maybe rightly so.
By the way, says Patrick, I Googled and found the same page with Casale on it. Let us know what happens with Tom next week.
Well, next week to find out if he's still employed.
Obviously,
fired.
It's on the internet. I have it in my hands.
You were convinced it was a joke?
Fire him.
No, I knew it was on the internet. I'm
just going to say
it's a joke
on
the internet.
Fire him. We'll hire Kyle for half as much, and Paul and I will
go ahead.
The difference
I dare
as a
you
raise.
To. I dare you to fire me.
I'm not really interested in that.
Yeah, because you make billions of dollars on your other gigs.
What would get so I can't use a billion more?
What would get more emails when we switch PVN to Comcast On Demand or fire Tom Casale?
Fire Tom Casale.
We get more emails congratulating us or being
mad? No.
They love him.
Every email comes in with Tom Casale as president. The fans would be up in
Joey
arms. Joey Feep would be happy about it.
Artie from Keene, New Hampshire says, I think you're wrong. I have no interest in watching the Super Bowl this year. Not even to watch the commercials.
I've heard the same thing from
many of my friends, family, and acquaintances. And
see,
not just
one guy. It's his friends, family, and acquaintances.
Not all of them are Patriots fans, so don't go that route.
Yeah.
There is just no interest in this game for many people. I can honestly say that I don't care who wins.
Great email.
Now, let's break that down for a second.
By the way, nowhere in there did he say he wasn't watching, though, did he?
Can we be completely objective here, Fred? Is that okay, or are you going to make fun of Andy and I again?
As long as you are completely objective.
You're going to make fun of Andy and I again?
As long as you are completely objective.
Are you honestly going to look at this game from a non-Patriots perspective and say there's nothing interesting about this game?
Peyton Manning trying to finally win a Super Bowl is of no interest.
The Chicago Bears, one of the flagship franchises in NFL history, there's no interest in this Super Bowl.
I don't think that you can call yourself an NFL fan and not be interested in this game.
I'm saying if it has nothing to do with Peyton. Right. Now, I can understand. I really, and this is, I'm being truthful, I can understand a Patriots fan saying, I hate the Colts so much that I can't even bear to watch.
Right.
I understand that. That's good hatred. I like that. But I don't understand someone who's not a Patriots fan who says there's nothing intriguing about this game.
But look at all the Red Sox fans who are like crazy Red Sox fans. They root against the Yankees. When the Yankees are in the World Series, they watch.
But there are also some that can't watch because the Yankees are involved, which I would put myself in that category.
Really?
That's good, solid hatred. I like that.
Okay.
Sometimes I hate. I hate for no reason. Right, Tom?
Yeah, but if you watch the entire NFL season and don't watch the Super Bowl,
I don't understand that.
Plus, in all the other sports where you can say no interest, it usually involves watching things late at night during the week, a 7-game series. This is a 3-hour game on Sunday night. I mean, why wouldn't you watch? What else are you going to watch?
I think the NFL is the only sport, really, that has such a passionate, non-attached fan base. It doesn't have to be your hometown team.
Patty writes it. He says, great show as always.
Drunk.
I was on some other team's website, and I can say that your website is easily the best, which is some achievement considering you guys have to work with Andy A-Hole Hart every day. Andy is the Marquise Hill of PFW.
The Marquise Hill.
He brings nothing to the show. You would think that with a big head, a head that big, that there might be some level of intelligence in there, but there is nothing.
Have another. You frickin' lush.
Marquise, you know what amazes me? That you guys can't see the constant flirting going on between Andy and Lori. I mean, put a gun to my head.
What did I do now?
But you, since she came here.
She was in there rubbing Gary's chest.
They're doing hand
motions. He was rubbing hers. It was awkward.
It's non-stop flirting.
Wow. He brought her out of the booth.
You better put that on.
Lori's here.
No. He makes fun of me for being.
Talk into the mic, please.
See, now she's getting mad, though, is.
We do join Dick for a little while.
You see the truth there. You can see it.
Truth. No, no, no. Yeah, the truth
this
hurts.
One's spun out of control.
Well, what's going on? You guys having an affair?
No.
Huh?
I'm not married.
What? Well, Andy would be having an affair.
I like how she pointed that out, though. I'm not married, so it's okay.
Are you a marriage breaker?
I wasn't comfortable with that response.
I'm not a marriage breaker. I'm not a home wrecker.
You're not a home wrecker?
And it's Andy. He thinks he's shorter than me.
That's not true.
That's a good point.
That is true.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, but if he lies on his side, his head is taller than you. Because he has a big head.
I got it. That's why I laughed.
See, he's got to explain.
Well, I don't know if Lori.
I didn't need the explanation.
Exactly. Oh,
boy.
I think Tom's obsessed with Andy.
You think so?
Yeah.
You guys are having an affair. I'd put $100 on it. That's how sure I am.
Wow.
Something's going on.
I'll take the bet then.
I was going to say, can I get in on that bet? Because I'm pretty sure there's nothing going on.
I can feel these things. I can feel them.
What do you feel?
I hear things.
Whatever you're feeling, it's just Andy tickling you.
No, it's you guys.
What things?
Something's up. I haven't been able to pinpoint it, but before I leave here, I'll get to the bottom of this.
Okay. All right.
I thought you were leaving this weekend.
Maybe you can break the news in Colts power.
Yeah.
Apparently, I'm getting paid.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the show. Laura, did you have something to say before you?
Oh, no. I had to come defend myself.
Okay.
How are those cheerleader roster report thingies going?
Chit-chat.
Chit-chats are very, going very well.
Excellent. And why are you still included? Aren't you an ex-cheerleader?
Ha ha. Funny.
What's wrong with that?
You'll always be short. But no.
Ah!
More flirting.
No, the chit-chats are going very well.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition. We'll see you next Wednesday, not Tuesday, here on Patriots Football, whatever it is.